It is Free Talk Live, and as always, you're invited to control the airwaves. You can call in and talk about whatever is important to you, 603-283-6160, if you'd like to do that. Again, the number is 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki,
and it's Bonnie.
And you know, it's weird to imagine it, but I don't know how to begin this conversation. So a few days ago, I couldn't sleep. So I went through old YouTube videos, like just old stuff in general. And first, I was just stunned by how terrible the quality of the content that I was
Your own videos?
Yeah. Like 4 years ago, absolutely horrible. Everything about it was terrible. But one thing that stuck out more than any other was the drastic changes to my voice from 4 years ago or 5 years ago, however, because some of these were really old videos that are no longer listed. They're no longer publicly viewable. They're just there. And if you're logged into my account, you can see them.
Did I tell you that Nazi versus Shemales, that was called, was it autoplayed on my YouTube?
Did it?
And I was like, Aria looks so different.
That was another thing that I noticed. I mean, I did get, you know, forehead contouring and brow reduction. I don't remember exactly what all they called it, but like that's just the brow area. Mm-hmm. There's a huge amount of changes to my physical appearance from 4 years ago. Almost certainly as a result of being on estrogen for the last 4 or 5 years or whatever, but it's shocking to go back through and look at those. Anyway, the point I wanted to get at was that when I hear myself each day to day, or just here on the show, I don't hear any difference in my voice versus how it was prior to the surgery a year and a half ago, right?
Well, and I'm sure it's so gradual, a lot of those changes.
Well, no, because it's surgery. It's supposed to be instant, right?
They
cut up on my throat, and they cut my vocal cords in half, basically.
But in the beginning, wasn't your voice... I mean, I can't remember exactly what you sounded like directly after, but...
I was extremely hoarse.
Yeah, that's the thing. So it still takes a lot of time to recover. Yeah, for like a month at least, right? You couldn't even speak.
Well, for three...
Or wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, for 3 weeks, I was not... And I didn't.
Yeah.
I did not speak at all for that entire three-week period. I was under the assumption that something got messed up because I had just quit smoking. And I kept coughing the entire time I was supposed to be recovering. They're like, look, you got to stop the coughing. So what the hell do you want me to do?
Yeah.
I would love to stop the coughing. And everything I looked up suggested that it was particles of various description that, you know, were left over there from the surgery that I was coughing up. But they insisted that it was a result of smoking. I don't know who was right, and it doesn't matter who was right. But I was under the assumption that because of all of that coughing, the result wasn't as good as I had wanted it to be. And, you know, I'm still not totally happy with the result. Don't get me wrong. I'm not happy about it. I wish I hadn't done it, but I don't live in a world of regrets like that. Like, what's done is done, and I'm going to move forward.
You couldn't be like, you wouldn't know how it would have turned out, so.
Very true. But I do know how it did turn out. And going back through, it's... When I hear my voice here today, most people just assume there's been no difference whatsoever. And I remember at one point Ian said that there didn't seem to be any difference whatsoever. And that's true until you go and listen to one of these older videos. And this is true of Free Talk Live episodes from 3 years ago as well. But there was a gradual change in my voice anyway that was happening. And I don't know what that was a result of, because hormones don't feminize your voice.
I'm wondering, they don't?
No, your voice...
Wait, not at all?
No. Once your voice drops, that's it.
I mean, I guess, but...
There's no undoing that.
But I know, like, so many trans women who didn't have the, whatever, vocal feminization surgery, right, and their voices are very feminine.
It's not as...
You know?
It happens, but I mean, vocal training is a big part of that, and that's probably why my voice gradually changed. But the hormones themselves, they don't affect your voice whatsoever.
I was wondering that.
Because, and it's weird when I run into the... Because trans people don't know this, right? Because they can go to doctors or whatever to get whatever answers to the questions they want to know. They don't look them up. They don't learn about it. But I began my transition in Mississippi, where there were no doctors from whom I could get answers. So I had to look this stuff up myself. And I hear trans people now talking about how their voice is changing as a result of being on estrogen or whatever. And like, no, it's not. Whatever's happening with your voice.
Psychological.
Yeah, it's almost entirely just all within their heads, but I'm never going to be able to convince them that they're wrong, right? They believe that being on estrogen is making their voice higher, and therefore being on estrogen and making their voice higher. And maybe it is psychosomatic. Maybe it is a result of, what's the word I'm looking for? A placebo effect sort of thing.
I mean,
but
those
I
are
don't
super
know.
Powerful.
They are.
Oh, absolutely. I just assumed that it was because of the estrogen, but I've never outright asked a lot of my other trans friends because a lot of it's just weird. It's like, oh, does your voice sound higher pitched because you're on estrogen? Like, it's a weird question to ask a lot of people, especially if you're not super close with them, because it could be seen as offensive. And a lot of trans women honestly just don't want to talk about it. Like, they don't want to talk about how they're trans all day. They just want to exist. That's, you know what I mean?
That's pretty much my perspective. But I find myself these days talking about trans issues more and more. And look, that's not because I want to talk about them. And I said yesterday or the day before something like, if you're talking about trans issues or drag queens multiple
every
times
day.
A week,
yeah.
then you're obsessed. You've bought into the lie. You know, you're being manipulated. You're proving yourself to be easy to manipulate. And then here I am talking about drag queens every single day or trans issues every single day. There are a few issues, I think, that make it a little bit different. It's like, you can't say that someone who fights every day is just as bad as someone who picks a fight every day, right? If I have someone picking a fight with me every single day and every single day I have to defend myself, you can't criticize me for being this person out there getting into fights every day. It's like, no, defending yourself isn't the same thing as initiating a fight. And I didn't start these trans issues or these drag issues going on in society that people just cannot help but talk about. They're there, and people are talking about them. People are literally free staters and Republicans and Democrats alike. They're all arguing about whether or not I essentially have the right to exist and live my life.
Yeah, like, there was this video of Dylan Mulvaney, the trans person that got like a lot of hate for making a video holding tampons. And anyways,
I've never heard of this person.
Oh, well,
I haven't either.
She went on a Drew Barrymore's interview show.
Okay.
And people that we know and like libertarians were posting it like, oh, this is so bad. And I watched the whole thing and there was just nothing bad about it. Like, I can't even imagine what somebody would point to that was bad about it. It was just them.
I just don't get why people care so much.
There's a few issues. Well, the reason they care so much, there's the reason they care so much, and then there's the real reason they care so much. Now, they won't admit it, right? But the teacher in Concord who recently got in trouble for, quote, wearing women's clothes, it really reveals their actual cards, because they say it's all about drag shows sexualizing children or corrupting children or teaching
them to be trans
or whatever.
Yeah, it's always the children.
Right. But then you have this teacher who is just a teacher, and he's wearing clothes that are apparently women's clothes, but they can't even be identified as females' clothes.
Right, it's me. It looked like something just like a flowy, definitely very conservative, so you can't say it's sexualizing.
Well, that's exactly it, but they picked a fight with him, and they wanted him to be fired for wearing women's clothes, for being in drag at work, right? Not because he was dressing scantily, but just the fact that he was there and he existed as a man wearing women's clothes was too much for them, and they had to fight to undo it.
And it's like, at what point do these people have to admit that they're just transphobic? You know what I mean?
Because they don't seem to. Well, there's also the issue of things like Mrs. Doubtfire and, you know, Klinger from MASH.
Yeah, like, we all loved those shows and those movies growing up, so now we can't be. And I saw a post on Facebook that was like, oh, you all of a sudden have a problem with drag queens now, but that was your entertainment your entire life.
But see, it wasn't.
There's
a big difference here. And all of those drag queens, the Klinger from MASH, the Mrs. Doubtfire, and all of the others from like Rocky Horror Picture Show, all of the others, none of them were queer.
Okay, so that's the problem.
They don't have a problem with drag queens or cross-dressers until they're also queer.
I don't know. I think that there's a great... Okay, well, she does end up with a guy at the end. But Mulan, the whole movie, it's just there's so many little signals that she's gay. Like, at the end, she ends up with a guy just to make the conservatives happy. I forgot about that. But I didn't notice because me and Ian watched Mulan the other day. Just because he had never seen it, and it came out in 1998.
What a great movie.
So it's like a movie I've seen a million times, and I really love that movie.
I need to rewatch it because I haven't
seen
it since I was a little
kid. We watched it with the subtitles, and I didn't know all these. Because I was a kid, I didn't get all these jokes. Like Mushu, the little dragon, he says, just because Miss Man wants to take her drag show on the road, I have to wake up, and, you know, like just stuff like that. Yeah. And then at the end, all of her friends in the army she makes dress in drag to trick the bad guys that they're girls so they can get their guards down. And then they dragged the rest of the show.
And it was never an issue. I have never once heard anyone complain about White Chicks or Mrs. Doubtfire.
I forgot about that one.
Or Mulan. No one, I've never even heard it brought up.
Yeah,
you know what
and
I mean?
Some of those are actually literally family-friendly movies, like designed for little kids. Like Mrs. Doubtfire, that's for little kids.
Yeah.
But they don't get upset about it. And the only reason I can think of is because of something someone else pointed out, which is that it's because these drag queens like Robin Williams and these others, they're not actually queer. They're just people wearing drag.
And it's kind of weird that he's not. He's in so many movies where he's in drag. Like, oh, wait, he's not in drag in The Birdcage. He's just gay.
Yeah, that I haven't seen The Birdcage, but someone else mentioned it earlier. But before we get into all of that, because there's so much more to discuss there. In fact, some Nazis, literal Nazis, well, do literal Nazis even exist? But these were people waving swastikas at a drag event in Texas. I think it was, no, it was Ohio. And we want to talk about that. There's also other interesting stuff to talk about. But first, we have Sam on the line from Ohio. Sam, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask if the banking problem has gone contagious yet, because I haven't seen any coverage of it, really.
The banking problem,
mainstream.
You said?
I think they don't want to cover it because they want their... Since the dollar is based on the faith of the dollar and that's it, I mean, the people's faith in the dollar and that's it, they don't want to put anything out that is showing. Like, if you follow Aaron Day on Twitter, he's always posting stuff that's like, look at this that happened. So basically, Nikki, three banks went down last week, and one of them was the second biggest, or the biggest.
Yeah, the Silicon
bank
Valley.
That one, yeah. And so
there was also Silvergate, which went down previously.
Yeah.
But they closed voluntarily. And then the most recent one happened in New York. And I don't remember its name.
I can never remember that one.
Signature.
Signature. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Signature Bank. Yeah.
And well, I've been participating. I went and wired some more to turn into gold and crypto today. But
nice.
I want more people to participate in the run on the banks.
I've heard of a lot of people doing this, and it's not on the mainstream news. But if you kind of know where to look, so to speak, there are a lot of people who are investing in gold and silver who previously were not, a lot of people who are deciding to invest in crypto, or at the very least take their cash dollars out of the bank and, you know, lock it in a safe or bury it in their backyard or whatever. So I do think a lot of people are kind of starting to, if not wake up, get nervous. And they should be nervous. They should have been nervous before this, because the value of the dollar has been plummeting, especially after COVID, with all of the printing of money that's been done. So,
yeah, the half of the money supply that was printed in a year that took like centuries to get to that same point.
Yeah, and I don't know what you mean when you say you're not seeing it. There's certainly something to the targeted advertising and, you know, the algorithms that serve you news that they believe you're interested in. But if you just go to DrudgeReport.com, which is an aggregator for mainstream news, like, literally the first thing there is about a bank in France. A Swiss bank that's having these issues. And then the next one is about how ChatGPT is predicting an economic crash. Fallout is rocking Europe. ICANN is predicting a financial system breakdown. So, I mean, that's just Drudge Report right there, without going to MSNBC or wherever that's actually running these stories. So it's definitely there.
But I'm
there.
Talking about, like, CNN. I'm, like, following, like, the news briefing thing they have, and I would figure this would be at the top of that list, and it isn't.
Well, the point of the news is to distract you from things that are happening in the world and to convince you that things aren't really that bad. So I'm not surprised that CNN isn't telling you that, you know, the world is falling. They're telling you that the world is falling in other ways, right? You know, violent crime is higher than ever. Mexicans are kidnapping Americans. They'll cry wolf about all of those things. But in regard to the actual economic collapse, no, their job is to distract you from that reality. And I wouldn't go to CNN to rely on your news anyway. One of the reasons I like the Drudge Report is that they do just collect all of the headlines that are many important headlines that are...
But I mean, that's not the only place I'm looking. I'm just saying, like, when I go to mainstream places, they're, like, compiling all the headlines. It's not showing up there.
But also, if you go to mainstream news sources, I've noticed if I go to ABC, CBS, CNN, Fox News, they all report on the same exact things. You know what I mean? Or it's from a different perspective. So they're all, you know, reporting on the official narrative. Like, this is the news that the people need to be hearing. And then if you go to some alternative news sources or just, you know, something that's different, like Reason or Drudge Report, you will see sometimes some different things, or at least from a different perspective.
I mean, part of the reason you're not seeing this is because, so I went to MSNBC.com, which is the leftist mainstream media site that I have explicit permission to use. And sure enough, the very first thing there is about Trump being indicted and a bumpy ride and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So even now.
Wait, he got indicted?
No.
Oh.
It's about if Trump gets indicted. But even now, what is 2023?
Mm-hmm.
3 years after Trump was removed from office, MSNBC is talking about him every single day. That's their job, is to distract you from all of the horrible things that are going on in the world by taking advantage of your outrage about Donald Trump and directing those that way. Now, Fox News has different stuff that they're getting people outraged about.
Yeah,
Biden. Sex education, trans people, drag queens.
Wow.
Write a sexual fantasy short story. Oh, parents are upset. Their kids are being creeped out by teachers. That's
all this stuff that isn't actually issues.
Right. And until they make it one.
Yeah.
So these things are there.
I guess what I'm trying to figure out is almost like, since this is an issue, like, if you participate, it seems like it seems like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
I think that the reason it's not being reported in mainstream is primarily because they want the faith in the dollar to be strong. That's why Joe Biden went out and said everything's fine, because it all depends on
when
you thinking everything's fine. Right. I highly suggest following Aaron Day on Twitter. I think if you just search that name, regular spelling, Aaron Day, like today. He has lots of, I mean, he's always posting really interesting news I never saw anywhere else.
So, Sam, what is it going to take for you to not say that the mainstream media isn't talking about it? Because the one story here that I have about it is from CNN. Another one that I have about it.
Well, I'm talking about where they can pile it into a news stream. Like, you go on your
Is it not real until it's on the TV?
Well, I don't watch the TV because I'm blind. I listen to the TV, and I mean, I'm not listening to it all the time. I'm more likely going to listen to the radio or listen to Alexa or Google talk about it.
I guess I'm just confused because one of the articles that I brought in tonight is from CNN about how Moody's sees harder times ahead for all U.S. banks and put 6 on downgrade watch. It actually predicted some sort of negative number thing. I don't know exactly what all of that means, but that's one of the reasons I brought in the story, and that's from CNN. So, I mean,
but I guess what I'm trying to tell you is I'm only hearing this from you guys. Everywhere else I look, I'm not seeing it.
Well, I mean, this is directly from CNN.com, so maybe just go to CNN.com.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe
I've been seeing it a lot, like all over my Facebook feed.
I've been searching like banks and then going to news, so that's how I've been looking it
Actually, you know how I found out about it the first time? I was compiling some show prep for Sunday's show, and I literally, the first thing I always do is I just look up the news because I just want to see the first things that pop up just to know what the mainstream news is reporting on, right? What's relevant to them.
Uh-huh.
And it was the first thing that popped up on Sunday.
Oh.
So.
Really?
Well, it's not like they're not covering it at all, but I've noticed some are trying to make it sound like, and the worst is over, you know?
Also true. So, Sam, I hope that helps. You know, it's not, I don't watch television. I don't watch, you know, CNN's little news specials or whatever they're called. So I don't know exactly what they're talking about. But it's true that I'm going to be more likely to find stuff like this because I'm interested in it. I am an enemy of the banks. I hate the banking system. It's exploitative. It's taken over the world, and it's robbing people every single day. It's the reason that the political system is successful in pitting everyone against trans people. It makes it easier for them, right? Because they have this... I completely lost my train of thought on what I was trying to say there.
Because the banks want people to be pitted against trans people because they need to be distracted.
Yes,
yep.
Exactly that. And, you know, it's not just trans people. Trans people are the issue right now. for Democrats or liberals, it was the January 6th insurrection,
quote, so
insurrection,
crazy.
And Donald Trump. They're always finding something, some way of pitting us against each other so that we don't notice that the real enemy is the banking system. And that's been the case since like 1913, as they've been exploiting everything and merging themselves more and more with the U.S. government, to the extent that you can't really even separate the two any longer. It's disheartening. But so speaking of the economic system, we brought it up. Moody's is seeing harder times ahead for all U.S. banks and put 6 on downgrade watch.
What is Moody's?
I don't know. They're one of these credit bureau kind of things. Mm. I guess. So they rate people, essentially. Moody's Investors Service cut its outlook for the entire U.S. banking sector and placed 6 U.S. banks on review for potential credit rating downgrades. So that's what they're doing. They rate these banks critical. Just like the U.S. received a downgrade to their credit ranking in 2010, whatever it was. They went from AAA to AA. And it was as a result of printing out money. Mm-hmm. The credit ratings firm said it expects more banks will come under pressure after SVB's failure, particularly those with large hoards of uninsured deposits. I do not know why my voice is completely giving out. I need one of you to talk.
Do you need water?
No, I don't. I need one of you to talk.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So, yeah, it just seems like there's just been so much going on in the news over the Silicon Valley Bank and all that stuff, so.
I didn't have anything about the Silicon Valley Bank. I feel like, last night, me, Ian, Mark, and Aaron Day, he was on for like 2 hours. Mm-hmm. We talked about this for like ever. I feel like I have nothing else to say about it.
That's why I knew Aaron Day's name, because he was on last night. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, he's running for president. He's from New Hampshire, and he's an early free state mover.
Okay, that's cool.
Pretty cool. He endorsed independence on the show. He said that basically he is completely for it, and if he was president, he'd allow it. But he just thinks that the first issue should be becoming more independent from the feds, because we pay into it, but apparently we're not a donor state anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, somebody debunked that to us, and I was like, whoa.
Oh, wow.
And apparently we haven't been since 2018.
603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in. That's 603-283-6160. There's more coming up about the economic collapse. It is Free Talk Live. Talk Live, as always, you're invited to take control of the airwaves. You can talk about whatever is important to you. You can change the subject and talk about whatever you like. Or you can weigh in with your thoughts and opinions on the subject of the economic collapse that seems to be ongoing, or on trans issues, or any of the other stuff we're going to be talking about tonight. There's more of that coming up. It is 603-283-6160 again. 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
Nikki.
Oh, and Bonnie has stepped out for a minute. Sorry, it's based on that. So another concern that Moody's has is that U.S. banks are raising the interest rates that they pay on savings accounts. And I could see from like a business perspective why this would concern Moody, right? Like if banks are going broke, then it would be a bad idea for them to pay out more interest, more money on savings account interest.
But they're raising interest rates on everything. I mean, even so, the housing market has been wild recently. The first house, the cost of houses were almost double what they were in years previous. Now they've came down substantially, but the interest rates are 6, 7, 8, 9%.
Right. The interest rates are going up. And everything that would make it harder for you to get money.
Yeah.
If it's going to make it easier for you to get money, then interest rates are going the other direction.
Yeah.
But that's not what they're saying is happening here. They're saying that they're actually paying out more money on savings accounts now. They're actually giving people more money for having money in their savings accounts. And
that's because of the treasury bonds.
Is that what?
That's what I heard, I think, yesterday on the show. I think Ian, he said that the treasury bonds are paying out more now. I don't know why, but they are.
Well, it's trivial, Right. I had an account with a bank that was closed for like 3 years. And for 3 years, I waited on them to give me my money back. There was like $600 in the, it was a savings account. There was like $600 in the savings account. Well, banks are evil, right?
Yeah.
And they were in no hurry to do this. It's not their money. What do they care?
Yeah.
And the interest rate on that money, it was like $660 and something over that 3 year period of not being able to touch this money, like 13 cents of interest.
Dang.
It's completely negligible. It's not worth considering. It's easy to forget it even exists.
Yeah. I remember my grandparents always telling me it's best to have your money in the bank because then you'll, it'll accrue interest.
Like what world are they from?
And then I'm looking at the interest that comes in on my account. I don't know if it's every month or however, but it's always cents.
Yeah.
It's never above a dollar. I'm like, I really could care less about that.
I think
I lose that in the laundry. You know what I mean?
Right. It's actually better to just spend your money because when you spend it like now, the things you're buying are going to be cheaper than they will in 10 years.
Well, and that's the thing too. And they'll be worth more. You know, it's a better investment for me to spend my money on a house or a car or whatever I want because that will be worth more than the actual money.
That's exactly how the economy ended up in this situation, though, is that the financial system, the U.S. dollar, they discourage people from saving money. They encourage people to instead spend their money because, as Bonnie pointed out, if I save $1,000, then 5 years from now, that $1,000 will buy less than it would buy if I spent it today.
Yep.
And that's just a fact of the currency system that we have. And this is true all the way back to 1913, where if you saved $20, then that $20 in 1913, if you saved a nickel, how am I trying to put this? It's worth a nickel. It's lost 95% of its value.
Wow. And that's
I'm spacing
crazy
on how to exactly relay that, but yes. So
$20 is worth a nickel now.
$1. $1. Yes. Okay. That's why I was screwed up because my math was screwed up. So yes. So $20 that you saved back then, it buys the same thing that $1 would have bought back then. Yes. That's really hard to say over the air when you're trying to think it through at the same time. But anyway, so the depreciation of the dollar is real. And if my family had put back $100,000 or whatever, or $1,000 or what to them would have been $100,000, then if I looked in that account today, it would just be $1,000 or $5,000, or you do the math if you want while you're trying to have a conversation. I think it would be $5,000.
I was telling somebody the story of me almost getting a DUI today, and I said I had to pay a $350 fine. And I was like, honestly, not only did I like make not that much money, like, I don't know, $12 an hour, but also I feel like back then it was just like, that was so much more money to me. But it was like, I think that just sincerely bought more stuff back then
in
2016.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we know it did, but it even felt like it. Like when I said $350, I was like, I feel like it was like a crazy fine, but it's only $350. But that back then it was crazy to me.
Well, I mean, and even now I heard that they were trying to raise the minimum wage in Massachusetts to $20 an hour. They're just drastically, I mean, I don't even know what it is right now, but it has to be less than 15. So how are they going to raise the minimum wage by $4 or $5 at one time? I mean, that's just absolutely insane to me.
And it's amazing how it doesn't even work, right? And I've watched this happen at my place of employment over the last few years, in particular, where everyone got raises across the board. And now, instead of a new employee starting at $9 an hour or whatever, they're starting at $13 an hour. That's a huge amount of money. That's a huge hourly rate for someone with absolutely no skills to get paid to just come in and answer a phone and take some orders at a restaurant.
Well, I didn't believe the Massachusetts minimum wage could be $15. I was like, it's got to be less than that. I looked it up, and it is $15 effective January 1st this year.
Yeah.
Like, the people that get paid tips in Texas, when I was a waitress, you got $2.13 an hour, plus tips. They get $6.75 an hour.
Yeah.
And so going from that $9 an hour to $13 an hour, no one got any wealthier. None of my coworkers made any more money. In fact, if they looked at the math, they would find out that they're making less money. They're walking away with less money today than they were 3 years ago, prior to the COVID-19 inflation and prior to these wage increases in the first place. and prices are going up. Everything's going up. We get people complaining about prices all the time. I'm like, what? And we then go, oh, yeah, I guess inflation. No, inflation isn't the reason prices are up.
Well, and it's always strange to me that people think that inflation is a natural thing. Like, right? Oh, well, it's inevitable. It's just an inflation. You know?
Like, no, the government did this intentionally.
Yeah.
Knowingly.
Also, you better not have participated in like taking the $600 a week employment stuff and like just not working and stuff if you're complaining about the prices of things today.
Also, yeah. Really,
I mean,
good point.
But also, who cares? Because if the government's giving away money anyways, you might as well capitalize
on it.
Well,
the ones they were just giving away was like, you know, the $600 and then the $1,200. That's not what I meant. I meant the, well, I'm going to quit my job and get unemployment. And they were giving people $600 a week.
And I say I don't care about it, but I will just be honest here. I was very, very salty when I was working in healthcare during the quote unquote pandemic, working 16-hour shifts every single day because we were so short-staffed because everybody quit, and people on unemployment were making more money than I was.
Yeah,
I was very salty that I was busting my butt every single day working like 70 hours a week, and people who were just sitting at home, you know, watching Netflix were getting paid more than me. And you know, I felt like a sucker.
They were doing more than like nothing. They were actively ruining the supply chain and being unproductive and ruining and making what is today happen.
So let's go to the phones. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, quite a bit. Listen, I'm tracking with you on the scamdemic and on the banking system. I am, though, in the Trump camp, if you will, so you kind of know where I'm coming from here.
Okay.
But, yeah, well, you guys keep bringing up, like, CNN and rightly, you know, the mainstream media and MSNBC and all this. If you don't mind, I'd like you to, you know, so we can have a full-on conversation on this, the alt media. In other words, you're part of the alt media with talk show. But are you guys familiar with the Gateway Pundit?
I'm not.
I've heard of it.
You're not.
I think it's usually like pretty right-wing.
Yeah, it would be labeled that, and it could well be. I go to the Gateway Pundit just about every day. They are Jim Hoft out of St. Louis. He's got some video on here, some J6 stuff, but also the banking. And he's not that far off with you for somebody that would be labeled on the right wing. You're talking to somebody here that supported Ron Paul. I did back in 08 when he ran. So I go way back. I'm not a libertarian, but I track with a lot of your guys' issues. And I am assuming you would call yourselves libertarian.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing about, I mean, I'm glad to hear that other people out there are talking about the economic collapse and all this other terrifying stuff. But the reality is that the truth is impartial. If there's something major happening, if we're watching an economic collapse now, I expect people on the left and people on the right and libertarians who exist outside of that spectrum to all be talking about it. I'm sure there's plenty of leftist media sites that are the leftist equivalent of Gateway Pundit.
Yeah, I wonder why isn't there? I mean, it hasn't come to my attention.
So, Huffington Post, I'm sure they're railing about the financial collapse.
Oh, yeah. So I just did a quick search on the Gateway Pundit, and what comes up on either Wikipedia or whatever Google search, the first thing that says is, the Gateway Pundit is a American far-right fake news website.
Wow.
So they're just completely dismissing them as fake news.
Yeah, it's not really fair. That's the only ones that I saw covering this story where basically, what was it? Biden made a deal to give the WHO power over whenever we go into emergency status.
The World Health Organization?
Yes. And like, I didn't see anyone else reporting on it, but it was definitely true. It wasn't fake.
Yeah. Well, it's just like Alex Jones, where people just dismiss him as fake news, but he might be a nutcase, but a lot of the stuff he says is true.
Like David Icke.
Well, the fake news label is certainly dangerous, but Alex Jones in particular doesn't do himself any favors by saying things that are not true.
Yeah, and I'm sure the Gateway Pundit is more legit than Alex Jones. I'm sure they're more respectable. I know nothing about them, but it's hard to be, you know, less respectable than Alex Jones. But
I've got to back up what
I
said a little bit.
Am I still on with you guys?
I'm sorry, go
Am
ahead.
Am I still on?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, listen, again, I just throw it out for your consideration. Look at some of those stories. They have the great headlines. I don't always have time, you know, to tap in, just like I don't always have time to listen to you. Just to let you know, your show right now is on the normal Alex Jones time slot here in Salt Lake City.
Nice.
So I just got to let you know that I listen. I listen to a lot of things, get perspective. But the Gateway Pundit is right in the belly of the beast. And, yes, they do get Trump coming on there on their website. So it is important when you consider that Trump and DeSantis are the front runners on the GOP, good or bad.
You should look into Aaron Day running from New Hampshire.
I will. I'm good. I already jotted him down
from
earlier conversation. One last thing. I have a question for you, Bonnie. Is that you?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Bonnie, I know that you're not going to agree with everybody like Alex Jones and whatnot that go with the MyPillow man, Mike Lindell. But are you aware that at frankspeech.com, that's his network, they have a bevy of shows, and some are not that much different from this one. And he lines up and he gives them a voice in some ways bigger than what Elon Musk is doing.
Mike Lindell?
Radio shows. Huh?
Are you talking about Mike Lindell?
Yeah, at frankspeech.com. He has 20 syndicated internet and AM radio shows that he beams out over it. And I'm sure he doesn't agree with every host on there. It's just a thought that maybe you guys could hook up with them. I mean, they have Stu Peters. They have libertarians. And they're all, you know, we're not that far apart on some of the big issues.
I mean, we're not, but on some of these issues that are important to me, we are pretty far apart. Like MyPillow contacted Free Talk Live a number of months ago.
Yeah, I think they used to be an advertiser.
Well, they didn't.
Oh, never?
They wanted to, and they sent us some free samples, you know, that allowed us to order a pillow or a blanket.
Like over
or
a decade ago, they weren't?
No, just most recently.
No, yeah,
And we never on any occasion promoted them at all. And that's largely because of those places. We do agree on a lot. There's no doubt. Mm-hmm. I agree with conservatives on a lot. But those places where we disagree, some of those are pretty important. And that happens to be the case with Mike Lindell.
Yeah. But Bonnie, do you agree with me? And this is where I stand with Trump only in that I'm one of them. I feel he's the legitimate president. Let's look down in the future. When I see the Biden regime, not Biden, he's too far gone, but the people operating, that they can come in with guns and take down people that want to protest, and I'm not just talking about J6. I don't know if you're seeing some of the footage.
I hate that it's
on
become
Fox
known as
Tucker.
J6.
Especially because my birthday's June 6th. It really bothers me.
Sorry to hear that.
But so who else got gunned down while protesting?
I'm talking about the fact that the Biden administration, I mean, they put guns on the Mike Lindell himself, the MyPillow man, because he's in the Trump camp. And I'm saying that the weaponization of the DOJ has got to be brought to the forefront. And that's why I'm tracking with some of the people that are working with not Tucker, per se, but like Gary McBride, who's working with frankspeech.com to get the footage out there, not just from the Capitol building, but from the body cam of the D.C. Metro Police.
I agree that this is all like horrible stuff that the federal government is doing. But the thing is, there's lots of horrible stuff that the federal government is doing. And I think the thing that we probably fundamentally disagree on is not who should be elected next, but instead, how do we get our states to be independent of this? Because I don't think there's any healing the federal government at this point that we're at. I think that basically we need to just get out of their way. Like, just let them go ruin their own lives, because it's going to fail. The dollar's going to fail. I think that an important thing, I mean, in Utah, people love gold. That's where I buy my gold from, is from a company in Utah. Just like getting into gold. Oh yeah. Goldbacks.
No, it's a Monarch Metal on 3900 South. But they, I say Monarch, they sell, to the state of Utah, and yes, North Dakota and Utah have this in common. Gold and silver are on, by law, legal tender. And so that's probably why you're getting a lot of gold out of Utah.
You should look into the gold backs there in Alpine, Utah.
Yeah, I will.
Did you have anything else you wanted to weigh in with tonight?
Pardon me?
Did you have anything else you wanted to weigh in tonight with?
Oh, you guys have been just great with this. All I'm saying is this. You bring up, get the feds to leave us alone and look at the states. The problem is that a vote scam and vote fraud that I've been looking at for 20-some years, way before Mike Lindell and Trump got involved with it. I'm talking about from back east where you're at there, the book by Collier, Jim Collier, wrote the book in 1999 called Vote Scam, The Stealing of America. I was getting frightened of it back then. now, even in the lily white supposed state like Utah, we have vote fraud. And it's done not just in the mail.
We've always had voter fraud, though. This is not new.
Yeah, but not to this extent to where they can at a drop of a at a flick of a flashback.
No, that's not true. I think... Watch Gangs of New York and look into it. That was actually going on there, where people were voting multiple times, getting a shave, and then going to vote somewhere else, and then doing the same thing at multiple other polls. And that was the 19th century.
Barney, the reason we know that is we had the paper ballots to back it up. If they go full bore Dominion softwares, we won't be able to get get the backup information and the data. And right now, deep staters on both parties, especially the GOP, like in Wisconsin.
I mean, either way, they can do whatever they want. They can announce whoever they want. Oh, this is the president of the United States. How are we going to fact check them?
They
don't
use open source
paper ballots or not. You know, it doesn't matter.
Well, paper ballots. I say paper ballots, but counted in precinct, same day. And counted.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm gonna cut you off there because I don't think there's anything that can be done to make the voting system in the United States. The only thing that could be done, I think, to make it reliable would be something based on the blockchain, to do something like Dash does, where you invest in a cryptocurrency or you have a cryptocurrency and you use that to sort of vote with your shares toward this goal or that goal, like they do in decentralized autonomous organizations.
But even, I just don't care, because why am I voting? Like, why am I... This is who I want to rule me.
To control
other people. No, I vote for myself.
And the thing is, even if you had a fair and, use free open source software or cryptocurrency to elect president, there would still be no such thing as a legitimate president, like he called Trump. Even if Trump technically won, which I actually believe that. Like, I went to, like, 17 states or more. I can't remember, like, 17, 18, 19 states in 2020, and I was just like, wow, Trump's gonna win. I knocked on hundreds of doors. I really thought that Trump, not for Trump or anything, but just like from what I saw, I really thought Trump was gonna win. I truly believe that he probably really did win, but it doesn't shock me. I think that they're all, you know, all the elections are faked. But anyways, even if he won, it doesn't make him a legitimate president, because nobody legitimately rules over other human beings without their consent.
That's absolutely true. Excellent points. And I understand why someone would be more concerned about the Dominion ballots being faked, right? If it's not open source software and there's no checks and balances, then someone programming this can just have it give X percent of the votes to the candidate they like and Y percentage of the votes to the candidate they don't like, to guarantee that their favorite guy wins. And yeah, that sounds really bad, but like, there's nothing stopping them from spontaneously generating 50,000 paper ballots that do exactly the same thing. And they would do that.
Yeah, either way, it doesn't matter. There's no way to hold these people accountable.
No, if the government was evil enough to alter a number in a spreadsheet so that their candidate wins, they're absolutely evil enough to print out 50,000 sheets of paper to achieve the same goal. And as Bonnie pointed out, even if we could have a reliable system here to actually determine, you know, for a fact, this is what everyone believes, and this is who they want to be president, that doesn't matter, because still X percentage of those people voted for a different person. And now they're going to be ruled over by this person they didn't support. And some of us, like those in this room, would have voted for none of them.
Exactly.
I don't want a ruler.
I didn't vote.
I didn't vote either. And you know what? Even for the people that are voting, typically, especially for the presidential election, they're usually pretty close. It's usually only a few percent that it's off. Usually it's very close to half and half. So like you said, we have almost half of the population that is unhappy. More than that, because a lot of people don't vote. So you have like over half of the population, the majority, is unhappy with the president. How is that fair?
It's not fair, and that's built into the system, right? Even if it's working exactly as intended, roughly half the population is unhappy and being ruled over by people they don't support. I cannot imagine how anyone can stand behind such a system. Like, you know that it's making your brothers and sisters out there unhappy.
Do they know, though? Do they care?
They know, but I don't think they care.
It's all people know. This is what we're taught in public schools. Yeah. It's what our parents believed. It's what our grandparents believed. A lot of people have been buying into this system for hundreds of years. So it's hard to change people's minds on this, because if you say, no, you don't need a ruler, you don't need to be voting, you don't need a president or a senator or a representative, they can't even understand that. What would we do without these people to rule us? It would be absolute chaos. People can't even fathom all of the possibilities and all of the good things that could come out of being free and ruling yourself and having small communities where we just take care of each other and we don't have to answer to elected officials.
I think they do care. Actually, I need to back up to what I said a minute ago. I said they know, but they don't care. But the Republicans out there, they know that their Democratic neighbors are unhappy, and they do care, right? They would prefer their neighbors to not be unhappy. However, their team won, and right. That's way more important.
It's like football.
That's basically what I was going to bring up. It's just we're so divided at this point. It's like people don't see other people as important as, you know, the people that are in their group. And even with this whole, let's declare war on Mexico, declare war on the cartels. I've seen people in the comments saying, like, it doesn't matter if innocent Mexican people will die.
It's terrible.
Because it's like, break a few eggs to make an omelet or whatever.
See, the problem with that mentality is that eventually you're the egg that has to crack.
Absolutely.
To create their utopia, to create their perfect little omelet.
Americans thinking that war will never come to, like, the mainland United States are stupid.
Yeah. It's super ignorant.
Well, it hasn't yet, and that allows you to persist in this mentality, but you're right. If bombs were falling on American cities, Americans would find their appetite for war was drastically diminished.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, until then, and I don't want to see bombs fall on American cities. I absolutely don't. I want to see Americans wake up and realize that, hey, these Mexicans that are going to die, these innocent people who are going to die as a result of the U.S. government declaring war on these cartels, these people who aren't a nation and aren't a state and don't have an army, innocent people are going to die, and that's deplorable, and we should do everything in our power to make sure that doesn't happen.
The main thing that the United States could do in their power would just be to get rid of the drug schedule.
Yeah, legalize Absolutely. Drugs, and that immediately ends the cartels. Just like it wasn't the FBI or any other law enforcement that got rid of Al Capone and the alcohol trade during the Prohibition era. Nothing they would have done would have ever gotten that accomplished. What did get rid of Al Capone and the underground alcohol trade? Legalizing alcohol. And we see this all over the place. In fact, we have a recent example of how rape rates are going down in places after prostitution is legalized. And that's the story we want to get into tonight, because that's substantiated all over. Everywhere that tries legalizing drugs or prostitution gets the same result. 603-283-6160.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. As always, you're invited to take control of the airwaves. You can talk about whatever is important to you, like the My Pillow guy, Mike Lindell, and his what appears to be a podcast network, or whatever. You can talk about whatever is important to you. 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And with you tonight, it's Aria.
Nikki.
And it's Bonnie.
And I do want to thank the previous caller whose name I didn't write down. I've already forgotten it.
I don't think he said his name.
He didn't? Okay. Anyway, I want to say thank you, because I wasn't aware of frankspeech.com. Now I am aware of it. I'm not sure that there's necessarily anything for me here, but it doesn't look bad. He's right in that it is very much conservative leaning. And, you know, it's on the Alex Jones side of things. I would suggest, when I say conservative leaning, I mean it's not Alex Jones, in that they probably don't just make up crazy stuff here and then spew it like it's a fact. It's probably more like Breitbart. I don't know exactly what I'm trying to say here. I really don't. There's...
Yeah, it's a spectrum.
But... It's right-wing propaganda, I guess, is the best way to put it. And like any good propaganda, there is truth to it. And that's what makes the propaganda easier to spread. But it does appear to be a podcast network. I'm not entirely sure what these other shows are. But they are running one called, like, The Absolute Truth with Emerald Robinson. And when you pull it up, it's unclear what it is. It's a television show, maybe? I'm not sure, and I don't have the time to watch it right here. But he is doing good work. I applaud anyone who's out there helping other people get their voices heard. And that's great.
Absolutely.
So was he trying to say that we should reach out to get on there? I didn't think about it like that. I didn't really notice it.
Yeah, I think that's what he was saying.
I don't think we would fit.
I don't think so either.
It looks like these are shows that are being made specifically for he does seem to have a TV network called Truth. I mean, that automatically sets off my alarms, right? Anything associated with Truth?
Truth Social.
Yeah. Makes me think, okay, look, it's like the People's Democratic Republic. If it was a People's Democratic Republic, you wouldn't have to call it that.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like you. And here, like, if there was actually truth being spread here, you wouldn't really have to call it that. You wouldn't, if there was truth on your social media, you wouldn't have to call it Truth. And in fact, he does have his own social media called franksocial.com. Huh. And I assumed this was going to be a Mastodon instance, but I can't just sign it to see. But I suspect it's a Mastodon instance that may or may not be federated with others. Not entirely sure. We do have Ian calling. Ian, I think I have you. Are you with us?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's on your mind tonight?
So the whole Frank Social thing, they actually did when we were talking with them about, you know, them coming back to advertise with Free Talk Live, they were willing to put us on Frank Social. And we would be on there, except for they didn't have the ability to, like, take in our podcast feed into their system. So we would have had to upload every single night.
Don't we have, like, a really typical, like, RSS feed? So everyone that's on that show probably, or on Frank, whatever it's called, probably has to send it every night? That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's how it would have to be. So I was like, I don't want to do any more work, and I don't think you would either, Aria, just to be on one more website. So that's the reason we're not there. I said, you know, to them, well, you know, get back in touch if you guys can just take an RSS feed and then plug that into your system, because that's how everybody else does it. You know, all the major platforms like Spotify or iHeartMedia, we don't have to do anything different just to get on there. So that's the reason why we're not there. It doesn't have anything to do with their politics. So they were willing to take us. So
now, is that their television network thing or their social? Because Frank Social appears to be, from what I can tell, some sort of social media thing.
Oh, sorry. I meant the other one. Whatever the other one is. Frank
Speech?
Okay.
Speech. Yeah, that one. Yeah. So we would be there, but just weren't willing to do the hoop jumping.
It was a nice suggestion from the caller from Salt Lake City. Just, you know, anytime somebody wants to help get Free Talk Live out there more, it's a nice suggestion.
Yeah, thanks for that. That's all I had. Just wanted to clear that up.
Cool. Thanks for clearing that up. Also, he brought this up during a break. MyPillow actually was an advertiser with Free Talk Live at one point, and I wasn't aware of that because it was before my time, before I had anything to do with Free Talk Live. So I would have no way of knowing that anyway. But it's not true to say, you know, MyPillow never advertised with Free Talk Live. And I don't know if I said never. I just know that most recently they had contacted and it didn't pan out. But anyway, so franksocial.com, I suspect it's a Mastodon server, but not being able to, my bill restrictions prohibit me from just joining social media all over the place. And honestly, I really wouldn't want to join.
I was about to say, would you, though?
I mean, probably not, but I don't know. I have, in my past, I have joined all sorts of social media sites. I'm on Gab. I'm on Parler. And what I think Parler was the main Nazi one, or the white supremacist one, that actually kicked off Christopher Cantwell for being too extreme. But he wasn't necessarily just being too extreme. He was like literally advocating for violence against politicians. Like,
it's crossing a line.
Yeah.
I think this is the answer. I've never heard of this, but it says Frank Social login. Choice Social by Pick Mobile is a free social network connecting it. So apparently that's on franksocial.com at the login. Choice Social by Pick Mobile. P-I-K Mobile. So I think that's what's behind it. That doesn't give me very much info.
From what I can see, it does use Mastodon. So, I mean, I just quickly Googled it, and I can't read all of this while I'm trying to do the show, but it does seem that it's basically just a Mastodon instance. So you can probably follow Mike Lindell or whatever creators that you like from on Frank Social directly from our social media server, because as just like Frank. I want to call him Frank now.
It sounds
why
like
is
a name.
It called Frank?
I think it means like
because
you know
it's like
being
blunt.
Blank,
that's
yeah.
what okay. That's what I was thinking, but then yeah.
But see, now I just want to keep calling the guy Frank.
Yeah.
But anyway, I agree with Mike. Providing people with voices, especially the disenfranchised people, the minorities, the people who struggle to get their voices heard. I love the idea of providing them with the voice. And that's what social media, that's what the Free Talk Live social media is all about. Providing you out there because you live in a world where you're not allowed to just say whatever you want on social media. You'll get banned from Twitter. You'll get banned from YouTube. You'll get banned from Facebook just for speaking your mind. And I understand you may have some really bad crap in your mind. You may be horrifically racist, vehemently homophobic. I don't know. But I still think you have the right to express your thoughts. Now, I don't necessarily think we have to give you a platform, obviously, but I think we should in the interest of making sure that all opinions are heard, because I'm of the opinion that if one person has an idea and someone else has another idea and 50,000 different people have other ideas, the one with the best idea in the long run will be the one who wins out. I think that
hopefully
ideas should compete in a free market with other ideas.
And how can they do that before they turn into a solid thing? Only through speech.
Yeah, right.
Also, in regards to people saying things that are racist or homophobic or otherwise undesirable, I almost want to hear them say those things because I want to know. I don't want to silence those people and scare them into a corner so they can be on their, like, in the some weird depths of the internet in an echo chamber of other racist and terrible people, and those are the only people they're conversing with. No, come talk to me so I can tell you you're wrong and that I disagree with you, and we can have a reasonable, you know, discussion about this. You know, I don't want people to have to hide their thoughts and feelings because that's when they fester and brew, and then you start having people shooting schools and doing all this other crazy stuff.
If nothing else, I would like to know who these people are so that I can avoid them. That's one of the issues I have with that poor cake baker who keeps baking cakes and getting sued by LGBT people because he doesn't want to bake
Colorado.
Gay cakes or trans cakes
it's like,
or whatever.
Just leave them alone, you know?
Well, I applaud them because I want to know, you know, who these people are so I can avoid doing business with them. But when you sue them, you create a chilling effect, right? You're punishing them for his opinions, and that's going to discourage other people from expressing their opinions. And I don't want a transphobic person to bake me a cake.
It's
me
completely
either.
Stupid to just not bake a cake because you disagree with the people's lifestyle. Like, isn't your business just making cakes and making money off that? It's crazy. Well, but he should be allowed to do it.
I mean, yeah, honestly, even though I disagree with it, this person should be able to be like, no, you're gay. I don't want to bake you a cake. And as, you know, as a gay person or as anyone else who disagrees with this opinion, I wouldn't want that person to bake the cake for my wedding. Oh, you hate gay people? Okay, well, I will not give you my money. I will not give you my business. Why would I force them to?
Isn't that bizarre? Right?
Like, it's so bizarre.
If I knew this restaurant owner hated me, why would I go to their restaurant?
Yeah, right. Take my money.
Yeah, I would go to any of the other restaurants where I wouldn't have my food spit in or whatever. And it's true that most people are more professional with that. In my years of doing food service, I've never seen a single person actually mess with another person's food, like spitting it or something like that. I think it's probably almost entirely a myth and doesn't actually happen. Maybe it does.
I've never seen it happen.
But it's got to be extremely rare. But still, I wouldn't even want to, like, there are other bakers to whom I could go and be like, hey, I want a trans cake. Because that was how he found out. It wasn't just he didn't approve of their lifestyle of being trans. This trans one, the most recent one, they wanted him to bake a cake that was blue on the outside and pink on the inside.
Like a gender reveal?
Sort of, except, you know, it's blue on the outside, boy on the outside, but on the inside, they're really a girl. They're really pink. And, like, that's cute and clever and all that. But they told the guy why they wanted it to be pink on the inside and blue on the outside. Or it was the other way around, pink on the outside and blue on the inside. I don't know. But they told him what the meanings of this were. It wasn't just, oh, well, you know, we have twins and one's a boy or girl. And wouldn't have been right to lie either. But they could have just specified what kind of cake they wanted and been done with it. But no, they specifically said, this is to celebrate my transition.
Yeah.
And it's like, at that point, you're trying to create, it's just like the Canadian who keeps going to beauty salons to get bikini waxes. And then she gets upset because they don't want to wax her male genitalia. It's completely a state. If you go out looking for problems, don't be surprised when you find them. But some of us aren't looking for problems. I just want to know, oh, that guy's homophobic. Well, I don't want to give him my business. Yeah. I'm going to go elsewhere. But we can't find out about those people because it's dangerous economically. And in some ways, they may actually be, you know, have their property damaged or vandalized or destroyed or attacked to come out as, you know, homophobic or transphobic. So I don't agree with any of that. I think people should be able to say what they want. And I should be able to counter what they say with what I believe are better ideas. And in the long run, I believe that the idea that is better will ultimately win out. It's just the free market applied to ideas. In the long run, the better business will survive and the worst businesses will die out. And I think that's true of culture as well. In the absence of force, the better cultures, the stronger cultures, the more resilient cultures will survive longer. And the worst cultures will fade out faster. And I think what makes a culture stronger is diversity and acceptance and tolerance and peace and compassion and being willing to accept one another as they are, not trying to force them into one particular mold or another. I think those things make a strong society. And I suspect in the long run of human history, we'll find that's the case. But I don't know, right? Maybe it's better. Maybe it's better for humanity. It ensures humanity's survival to have this strict Nazi regime.
Yeah, doubtful.
I mean, it's doubtful. It doesn't sit well with me. But it's not impossible that humanity, by adopting this culture of tolerance and compassion, will die out a century from now. Mm-hmm. But if we had gone the Nazi approach, then humanity would live for 10 or 15,000 years.
There's no way to know.
Yeah, there's no way to know. And I want to err on the side of caution, right? And if humanity has to become Nazis to live for another 15,000 years, I think I would rather die out peacefully and compassionately within the next 100 years than have humanity persist on in a tyrannical, nightmarish hellscape.
Absolutely. And I think the key word about what you were just talking about with your free market of ideas is with the absence of force.
Yes.
So unfortunately, we don't really have that right now anywhere in the world that I'm aware of.
Sadly, we do not.
So there is no way to tell there's no way to really have... there's no way to really know that the best ideas are going to be able to succeed, because I'm sure your assessment is correct. In a free market,
I hope so.
With the absence of force, the best ideas would be the ones that are, you know, would be the best.
But you're right. We don't have that. And I think you raise a really important point. I mean, yes, it would be true that I don't know exactly how to phrase this. In the absence of force, it is true, but we don't have the absence of force. We do have the state, and the state is eager to use person A's ideas against me, person B. Yep. And as long as that reality exists, I can't just allow, well, I can't allow, I won't do anything else, but I can't just ignore the people out there saying, oh, you know, trans people shouldn't be allowed out in public or whatever, because that's effectively what they're arguing. And I have something later on that I want to get into regarding the subject, but you know, let's get into it briefly. They're arguing that, you know, taking your kids to a drag show is unacceptable, just completely unacceptable. Okay. Ignoring the possibility that these are kid-friendly drag shows, but let's do it then. Drag queens, go out there. Dress scantily and dance up to little kids on the street. They're already accusing you of doing it, so go ahead and do it. And that way, they will actually see the difference between a drag person coming up to them, their children half naked and dancing in the streets and trying to corrupt their children, and the difference between actually taking children to a place where those drag queens are. So let's show them that actual difference. And I don't remember how I was going to tie that to my previous point again. I've already lost it. I didn't sleep very much last night. I never do on Wednesdays. And it's a little bit worse last night than it was tonight.
Didn't you have to work late? Because of the snow?
Well, I did. Yeah, that was also true. But I was home in plenty of time to have fallen asleep. I got a decent night's sleep. I just don't sleep because of anxiety and crap like that. So thoughts are escaping me more frequently than they should be, and that's kind of frustrating. And I also don't really drink caffeine anymore. I gave up Monsters recently. I drink Celsius now, which have caffeine in them too, but like a lot less.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's go to the phones. I've drank many fewer. Like previously, I would drink like 4 Monsters a day.
That's a
right?
lot.
Yeah, but now it's like 1 Celsius or half a Celsius a day. Mm-hmm. So it's a severe reduction in caffeine. Well, let's go to the phones. We have Major Payne on the line from Michigan. Major, you're on Free Talk Live.
Well, I reckon 1 Monster a day is enough for anybody to have to slay.
Yeah. You would think.
Area, I really don't understand. I've heard you and Bonnie both in the last week or so just attack Catholicism. And we are, like it or not, we are 50% of the population. And you're alienating half the...
Wait. 50% of the population is not Catholic.
Yeah, I don't think that's true, but even if it is, I just... If 100%...
All right, maybe I misinterpreted. Maybe I should have said Christian.
Oh, okay. Well, either way, even if...
There's 2,040 denominations.
Hey, man, hey. There is no need to yell at people here. Like, if you... I've only got you on hold. I didn't hang up on you. But I need you to hang up and, like... Not yell at Bonnie when you're trying to make your point.
Also, I can't let Bonnie take the downfall for my criticism of Catholicism.
I was like, I didn't say anything
about
Catholicism.
It was me on Sunday that was talking about Catholicism.
I don't think I've talked about that in like many weeks, Catholicism specifically. But anyways, even if 100% of everyone on earth except me was wrong, I would still say the right things that were true. Because I serve truth, not some imaginary being.
I'm so glad you got it all figured out at the age of 25. My truck's older than you.
I'm 26.
My truck's still older than you.
I mean, is that... and then he hung up, so I guess that's fine. He didn't... I don't know. That was bizarre.
I don't know. He's on one tonight.
Yeah. First of all, he apparently was talking about Nikki.
And I mean,
and
neither.
He still got mad at me about it.
Really good point there, Bonnie. Neither one of us even mentioned Christianity tonight. There's all kinds of things I want to say against Christianity. In fact, I watched one of my Bible streams, one of my satanic Bible studies a few weeks ago. Like I said, I couldn't sleep, so I watched my old stuff on YouTube. And like, that was actually really good content, right?
dang, that chick's onto something.
Yeah, it was really fun to do. It was really entertaining. And I could do a better one now than I did then, just because I know so much more about producing content than I did back then. Like, this was right at the beginning of my sheriff campaign, or maybe before it, where I knew the basics of how to produce content, and that's why they came out as good as they did. But I know so much more now. And the satanic Bible studies, I don't want to call them satanic Bible studies, though, because that makes it sound like we're doing a study on the satanic Bible, and it's not. It's the Bible from a Satanist perspective. But what else would you call that if not a satanic Bible study? But, like, I don't generally make it a point to even talk about Christianity, and neither me or Bonnie have mentioned it tonight.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And specifically Catholicism, I don't even know much about it, and I say that all the time. Like, I was, like, just basically a Christian fundamentalist as a kid. We just went to whatever church most aligned with my parents, and they didn't like anything that went away from, like, interpreting the Bible as if everything in it is, you know, like, true and the inerrant word of God. And honestly, I think that the only Christians that make any sense, if you're going to be Christian, are the ones who interpret it all as it says. Like, I don't know. I just think Catholics are weird because they have, like, not weird... weirder than others, but I think it's weird that there's all this lore around it that's not even in the Bible.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, demonic stuff that they believe in. And listen, my family's Catholic, so, like, I know about Catholicism. Not very much, because I stopped going to church when I was, like, 2 years old because my father deemed it a waste of time, but which is a pretty accurate assessment, I would say. But there's just a lot that goes into Catholicism, like a lot of, like, torturing and tormenting of children that doesn't go on in just regular Christianity, you know?
Like, it does, but it tends, like, it tends just, to be more subtle.
There's more commitment to Catholicism. Like, the kids have to go do the thing after school twice a week, and you have to, the commitment or whatever when they save themselves for Jesus. There's just so much more to it that...
Bonnie, I think I agree with you. I have a hard time coming to... I'm probably never going to really come to term with Christianity as a whole, but I have an easier time coming to term with and understanding, and I have more respect for the fundamentalist Christians out there, the young earth creationists who are like, yeah, the earth is 5,000 years old, that's it. Everything said in the Bible is literally true, and the devil put those dinosaur fossils here to trick you, and the earth is actually flat. I have much more respect for those people because they've drawn their line in the sand, and they're going to stand there on that side of it no matter what. But the modern Christians, they're apologetics. Well, it didn't literally mean 5,000
right.
years old.
It didn't literally mean gay people. It meant young people. Just stuff like that, like trying to sound more acceptable. I don't know. It just, to me, it's just like, why even be a Christian at that point?
It's
just
watered
stop
down.
Being a Christian.
But yeah, that's very fun. That's very different from Catholics, because I'm like you. I know nothing about Catholicism.
There's like all these saints and things like that. Yeah. I don't even know anything about it.
603-283-6160. There's more coming up. It is Free Talk Live. Talk Live, and you can join the discussion, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. With you tonight, with you in the studio tonight is Arya, Nikki, and Bonnie, and we're talking about the economic collapse that is ongoing, and just the fallout from that. It's fun to see. I generally, like, when John McCain died, I wagged my finger at the libertarians. I was like, look, this was still a human being. As evil as he was, he had people who cared about him, people who loved him. His grandkids loved him. And, you know, we should still not dance on his grave. And that's true. And I have to agree
to disagree, but sure. Go on.
Meaning, well, most libertarians did. And that's true. I would try to make the same sort of argument about most people who die. But when it comes to the banks, no one's dead. Hmm. And I have no qualms whatsoever about dancing on these people's graves.
I don't know. It does have the possibility to ruin a lot of people's lives.
Not
and
if
to
they
really
were paying
put them
attention.
In,
right, right. That's
but
the thing.
No
like,
one's
been
paying
saying
attention though, besides us. Like, to be honest, like, you think all these like boomers and all these old people know what's going on? They're watching Fox News.
I have no sympathy for boomers because did this.
I was about to make exactly that same point. I have a really hard time going, oh, the poor boomers.
I feel worse for the Generation Z people who are basically going to end up like, you know, coming of age during this type of crisis, just like what happened to the millennials in 2008.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, the boomers, all of this that we see, this is directly of their creation.
Yeah.
Like, this economic collapse, it's got boomer written all over it.
The only
right.
boomers
Screw
I
them.
Care about are, well, okay, I care about my grandparents, and I don't really know how much gold they have, but Chris and Colleen from the Moose Mart, they buy crypto and gold and silver, so I don't really care about any other boomer.
That's a good. I wouldn't really consider them boomers. It's not just about age, right? It's about mentality.
Yeah, right.
I completely forgot they were boomers, and I said, okay, boomer once, and they like didn't laugh, and I was like, wait, are you guys really boomers? I didn't think they were boomers.
They act like Gen X more than anything. So, I mean, it's like an age thing, right? Being a boomer isn't just about being older. It's about being self-absorbed.
Yeah.
It's about being disconnected from reality and the hardships that ordinary people actually face.
Oh, I just thought That's of some true. More. But they're also free staters and they buy crypto and gold, so it's fine.
Yeah. And they're not boomers. I don't think.
No,
they may be
boomers
older, but they're
not
boomers.
Yeah, no, boomers is different.
I mean, there are millennial boomers out there. There are Gen X boomers out there, and that's because boomer, a lot of the boomer generation fits this stereotype, but boomer has taken on a meaning of its own that isn't just that generation of people. It's the entitled, screaming, self-absorbed type of person who believes that their actions don't have any consequences and everything that happens to other people that's bad is their own fault and nothing that happens to them is their own fault. And their economic system is collapsing around them, and I'm not upset about it. It seems to be collapsing. I have something in my eye still. It seems to be collapsing around them. I'm certainly hoping so. We've seen three banks go down just in the last few months. One of them was the largest bank to ever, I think, to ever go down. And, you know, it's been said a lot. Are these bailouts? This thing that just happened with Signature Bank, where the federal government went in, they took it over, and they said, look, we're going to guarantee everyone's money here. What is this, if not a
they
bailout?
They did that with Signature. I knew they did that with the Silicon Valley, but I didn't know with Signature.
Well, I thought it was both of them.
They did. I believe
they seized it, but...
I believe it was. Or they just took control of it.
And
or
I'm
something.
Not saying you're wrong. I just honestly right. I didn't know.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. So, I mean, if you remember otherwise, then you're absolutely more likely
to
be right.
No, I don't even remember
I
otherwise. I just thought when they seized it, I thought that meant something else. I thought they seized it as in no one's getting their money back. I don't know.
But this article that I have from thegarrisoncenter.org, it does mention Silicon Valley Bank. So it doesn't even matter whether or not I'm right or wrong about Signature Bank, because it's about Silicon Valley Bank, which is in that position. U.S. President Joe Biden stresses that Silicon Valley Bank is not getting a bailout, The Hill reported on March the 13th.
But he's lying.
Yes. No losses will be borne by the taxpayers, he said, of the federal government's decision to cover depositor losses in excess of $250,000. And now look.
Yeah, right. How would it not?
Right. But let's explain to people real quick what the $250,000 depositor insurance is. When you put money into a bank, a run can happen, right? Mm-hmm. Banks are unreliable. They can lose your money or whatever. So the FDIC is something that was created by, I think it was FDR, the New Deal guy?
I think so, yeah.
It was created during the New Deal as a way of guaranteeing Americans that if you put your money in the bank, the government would always pay you back your money, even if the bank lost it all.
So only up to $250,000, right?
Right. It was initially like $50,000 or something like that.
I wondered if it changed because, I mean, $250,000 would be like millions in the 30s.
It increased from $50,000 to $250,000 within the last few years. I don't remember if it was a result of COVID-19 or the 2007 recession, but at some point within the last 15 to 20 years, the amount was increased from the FDIC amount was increased from $50,000 to $250,000, apparently. I thought it was increased to $100,000. But you know, all of these numbers are sort of meaningless. I can't imagine there are too many people out there putting $250,000 into a bank. And this is where this whole conversation is divorced from the actual, this is boomer conversation. Only boomers care about this because no millennial or Gen Xer or Gen Zer out there has $250,000 to put in a bank.
Yeah, for the most part, that's probably true.
Maybe 0.1% of them do. But almost no one else has 250 grand to just leave sitting around in a bank. Yeah. They may have a house that's worth about $250,000.
Yeah, even if I did, I wouldn't be that stupid to leave it in a bank.
Right, because to you, that's a big amount. Think about how much money you have to be willing to leave $250,000 just sitting in a bank.
And from my understanding, I think most bank accounts with $250,000 or more in it are going to be businesses. You know,
probably.
People that are running payroll and, you know, need
true.
That much money in a bank account to be able to pay employees and whatnot. And, you know.
But with all of this being the case, I would imagine that these businesses would not allow more than $250,000 in any particular account. And they would just have, you know, if they needed three accounts with, if they had $750,000,
that would
open
be a
up
lot
three
of work.
Accounts.
Well, with like,
I think that'd be a lot.
With
most
the Silicon Valley one,
there.
Those were huge businesses. So they had like a whole lot more in each. Like some of them had like billions, but I mean, that's crazy. But I that's just the confidence most people have in the dollar, I guess.
It's still so far removed from the concerns of the average person that when you talk about paying back this company or that company, even hundreds of thousands of dollars, they're like, yeah, I can't afford my rent this month, but you tell me more about how you're going to make sure that big companies get all their money back. And then you say millions, the problem gets even worse. So that's what all of this is these companies, these people, mostly businesses, as Bonnie and Nikki have pointed out, have money in these banks. And the federal government was supposed to insure it up to $250,000, but they're going above and beyond that and saying, look, we're going to insure all of it. So even though we're only required, if you had $10 million, even though we're only required to give you $250,000, we're so wonderful, your government's so wonderful, that we're going to go ahead and give you all of your money.
And somehow the taxpayer isn't paying for it, even though that is impossible.
Instead, the money will come from the fees that banks pay into the deposit insurance fund, whatever that means. I mean,
they don't have enough in it.
Yeah, that wouldn't even... It just doesn't make sense, right?
No,
yeah, they don't have enough.
I don't remember the numbers, but Ian and Lee were talking about it. They said, literally, the amount that's in there is not enough to cover it. So where is the rest of it coming from? I don't know. Lee had an explanation.
I mean,
but
I
taxpayers will be hurt.
I wouldn't be able to like have the resources to be able to do the math to prove that point, but just thinking logically, how would they have enough money from the fees? It's just billions
of dollars.
Billions of dollars. I just don't see it.
Well, it's like insurance, right? And that's sort of the idea here. If you have 300 banks in the United States all paying this insurance and none of them ever need it, then you should have a fair bit amount. So when Silicon Valley Bank goes under, you've got all of these banks that have been paying in for the last 50 years. You've got all of their insurance money. So you should have enough money to cover it. But of course, that's not the way the U.S. government actually does things.
Yeah.
But in theory, you know, it says, okay, these 100,000 people have been paying insurance for the last 10 years. Now one of them has had an accident and it's going to cost us, you know, $4 million. But that's okay because we've made more than $4 million over the last 10 years selling these people insurance. So it's supposed to function like that. I mean, it's literally called insurance.
Also, they shouldn't be insuring these people their entire amounts. They should only be $250,000 each. I just realized that would make a big difference.
That would absolutely make a big difference. And some sort of private insurance fund, I think, would be better, right? If this wasn't done by the federal government, if the banks had to buy insurance, I think I would be okay with that. And they apparently do have to buy it from the federal government, or they have to pay into the federal government through the deposit insurance fund, but it's not a free market. And I suspect the reason it's not a free market is because banks are so terrible with money that it's a losing proposition to insure banks' money against losses. But what we're seeing here is just yet another example of privatized profits and socialized losses. And we've seen this over and over and over throughout human history, where when a company makes money, when Silicon Valley Bank makes money, their CEOs, their upper management, they get to pocket that. But when they lose money, all of us have to foot that bill. We saw the same thing with airlines. When Delta makes money, their CEOs get wealthier. All of their higher up employees get wealthier. But when they lose money and they need a bailout because they're going to collapse otherwise, and the government goes, okay, well, here's $600 billion or whatever, that comes out of us. So they get to keep all of the profits and they don't have to pay any of the losses. It's privatized profits, socialized losses.
In both those industries, airlines and banks, you, listener, can't just be like, I'm going to open an airline tomorrow. Like, it doesn't matter how good your ideas are, how many people are supporting you, and how much money you have. Like, it's at least really, really difficult to create a bank or create a new airline because of the federal government.
Well, and the reason that the federal government wants to protect these big businesses is because they're a resource for them. They, you know, the politicians are getting kickbacks and whatever else from these large corporations. And the reason why they don't care about you and me when, you know, a normal person is starving or homeless on the street is because we're less of a resource to them. If anything, we're a hindrance.
So the premiums that these banks pay to the Federal Deposit Insurance Fund is based on the amounts they have in deposits and an FDIC opinion of how risky the bank's practices are. So if you're engaged in very risky stuff, they may require a higher fee than if you're not engaged in very risky stuff. But it's based on the amount of money that you have in deposits. So let's turn our attention back to a great film about the last big U.S. financial collapse, the 2007 one. And the film is called The Big Short. By way of explaining his pitch for betting that the collapse was coming, Jared Vinnett, a fictional character based on a real person, tells some investors, I'm standing in front of a burning house and I'm offering you fire insurance on it. And that's amazing. If the house is on fire and you're still willing to sell someone fire insurance, and that's sort of what happened with the last economic collapse. In the case of Silicon Valley Bank, Signature Bank, and likely other banks to follow, the FDIC is standing in front of burning multi-million dollar houses insured for $250,000 and offering to pay the full value of the houses instead of the amount insured.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah. And who's covering the difference? For the moment, all the banks that haven't collapsed yet, which means the customers of all the banks that haven't collapsed yet, which means the taxpayer. They're not paying for it through taxes, but the taxpayer is still paying. The customers of these banks are paying. It's the customers who actually pay those FDIC premiums. After all, banks don't turn profits by eating their costs of doing business. They pass all of those costs on to their customers. Depositors earn a little less interest or pay slightly higher fees, or the bank charges borrowers higher interest and fees. And So your $29 overdraft fee may become a $35 overdraft fee. I think it probably already is $35.
At least, yeah.
I haven't overdrafted in a really, really, really long time, like long before I lived in Mississippi. And I was stunned then that once you overdraft, you're just like screwed, man.
Yeah. Unless you can
call and get them to undo it, and usually they do. But once then they'll tell you no. But during COVID-19, I overdrafted, and they said that they had to undo everyone because of...
Yeah.
But that's also not good either. It's like... Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Well, you shouldn't spend money you don't have, but if the bank is going to allow that...
Yeah, that's the thing. It should just automatically not let you do it. Like, yeah. That's what sucks about it. It's like, I guess if you're, like, stuck on the side of the road and you need gas, maybe there could be, like, an emergency button, you know?
Well, isn't that what credit cards are for? Emergencies?
Yeah, but I was never, ever even eligible to get a credit card. Wait, no, I was, like, when I worked at hotels. And there are people that cannot get credit cards. You know, like, when I did Uber Eats and quitting my jobs all the time, couldn't get credit cards.
The thing about the overdraft fee that just gets me is you're being punished for being poor, right?
Yeah.
You accidentally, even if it's an accident, right? It's like, I need to pay this bill. If you have automatic payments set up on your bills, you overdraft your account. As if it isn't already bad enough that you are so broke, there is $0 in your bank account, negative dollars in your bank account. Now you're getting hit with a fee on top of it. It sucks.
It does. And this is one of the things I like about Chime. They have an opt-in system where you can overdraft if you have direct deposit. I think it's up to $40 a month that you can just overdraft. And there's no overdraft fee at all. Instead, they operate on a tip system, as I understand it, where like if you overdraft by $10 and you know they'll spot you that money, and then when you get paid again, they're like, hey, do you want to give us a tip or whatever? And you tip them $1.66 or whatever the...
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. That way you... And if you can't tip them, that's fine. It doesn't have any ability on your... It doesn't have any impact on your ability to make future overdrafts. But I think the idea of overdrafting, banks should either not allow it, or they should allow it and not penalize people for it and just set a stricter limit. But people who are perpetually overdrafting, there's a bigger problem here, I think, than just bank fees or whatever. And it's that these people need an economic literacy class or they need something. They need to learn discipline a lot of the times to get them to stop spending more money than they have, because that's literally what overdrafting means, is that they've spent more money than they have. And if they're habitually overdrafting, then they are continually spending more money than they have. And the banks, instead of trying to help them through that and trying to teach them a better way to live, they're exploiting that, taking advantage of it, and penalizing people for it. And it's universally the poor people who are being hit the most.
Mm-hmm.
And that's terrible. And it's just like the check advance places, which they're illegal in New Hampshire, and it's so weird to me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm just realizing, like, I don't see those things everywhere.
I don't remember why I know it's illegal, but are they illegal? I don't know. They're not here at
any rate. I can't think of any names of them right now, but yeah, they're everywhere.
The whole title advance people, the check advance people, they don't exist in New Hampshire. But when I go back to visit my family in the South, I'm reminded that these places exist, these horrifically exploitative places. And I've used some of these before. And the interest rates that they charge is like 300%, 400%,
or
whatever.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Yeah, but it's an APY, right? So if you borrow $50 then and you get paid, you have to pay back $75 or whatever the next week. And it's because it's only 50% more than what you borrowed, but over APY or whatever, however they calculate that, it comes out to be 300% or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, that's math's not adding up to me, but... Yeah,
I don't get involved in any of that crap. I just know that the legally allowable interest rate is significantly higher with them than you would expect in most places. Like a 9% interest rate on a loan from a bank doesn't actually come out to 9% when you paid it off. It's come out to significantly more than that. Whatever weird number of shenanigans they're doing there, it's the same sort of weird number of shenanigans they're doing at these check advance places. But again, these are just places that penalize people for being poor. And I don't want to say they penalize people for being poor. That's not accurate, because these are opt-in. You have to go to a check advance place and be like, hey, look, I want to borrow money.
It still takes advantage of people.
Yeah, but you're going to them.
It's a predatory field, though,
yeah.
You know?
So these customers that are going to banks, the ones being hit by these overdraft fees, and are probably going to see your overdraft fees, because that's the most obvious place of increasing, especially as people become more and more poor and they live more and more paycheck to paycheck. If you're a bank and you want to make more money, the easiest way to do that is to increase your overdraft fee from $29 to $31 or whatever. Something small that, you know, won't cause people to be up in the arms with pitchforks, but enough that when it happens 10,000 times, you've actually made a significant amount of money. I don't know off the top of my head how much money banks make from overdraft fees, but it's got to be a significant amount, right? So the customers of all the banks which haven't collapsed yet will be paying for these fees, which means that, yes, taxpayers are indirectly bearing the cost of the bailout. And if no, let's be honest, when more banks start going under because they put money into investments that tanked their liquidity, that is, their ability to cover potential surges in depositor withdrawals, and the FDIC runs out of money to cover this new, quote, any amount instead of just what was actually insured policy. And that's the worst thing I foresee about this. It's just going to cause the FDIC to run out of money faster, because there are more banks that are going to collapse. More runs of banks are going to happen. And the FDIC is going to run out of money. You're going to be sitting there at whatever, at Sycamore Bank in Mississippi, wondering why you can't get all $250,000 of your money back, and it's going to be because the federal government gave it instead.
Mm-hmm. To the super rich Silicon Valley Bank businesses.
Like, this is money that supposedly was to be used to guarantee your money, and now they're paying above and beyond to Silicon Valley Bank, and I think to St. Jude Bank, but at least to Silicon Valley Bank, and that's just going to cause them to run out of money faster. To add insult to injury, the depositors getting bailed out could have avoided the whole situation by spreading their deposits across different banks with no more than $250,000 at each bank, which, you know, if you're writing $100,000 checks regularly, you're right. That would be a giant pain. But if you're just paying like a normal payroll and you have an income stream coming in each week, I don't see any reason why it would be a pain, but it should be doable, I would think, with a lot of these cases. But why should these people bad judgment? Because if you know your money is insured only up to $250,000.
Yeah, it would be dumb to put more than that in there.
Right. And I would suggest it would be bad judgment and their banker's bad judgment. So why should all of that be expensed to us?
Yeah, it's not my problem. I didn't do it.
No, but if you're a customer of a bank, you're going to be paying for this. If you're a customer of a bank, you are paying for Silicon Valley Bank to have its money returned to them.
Yep.
But it shouldn't be this way. As we saw with the 2007-2008 collapse, American finance is a house of cards simply because it can be. Privatize the profits, socialize the losses. That's the governmental policy that we see today. And it ensures that the costs of poor decision-making aren't borne by the poor decision-makers. So thank you so much to Tom Knapp at the Garrison Center for that awesome article and the nice little summary about the Silicon Bank situation and what's happening there.
It made it a lot more easy for me to understand, because I knew somehow or another the American people are going to be bearing the brunt of this because of the Silicon Valley Bank, but I couldn't wrap my mind around why.
And that's assuming that they're actually going to stick to their plan of paying for this only from the other money that banks have paid into it.
Mm.
They have money sitting around that they've already printed. They say, no, look, we won't print money to pay for this, but if they've already printed that money, then they're not printing money to pay for it, and they're going to have to print more money to replace the money that they spent.
Hmm.
So one way or the other, yes, anytime the government gives people money, because the government doesn't have a job.
Right.
The only income they have is supposedly, and it's supposed to be, through taxation, right? They get 12% of your income or 20% of your income each year, and they use that to spend however they want. But in reality, they have this entire system set up where they borrow money from banks, and they just inflate the hell out of the currency, and they just add zeros on a sheet of paper, and that's how much money they have. And it hurts the amount of money that you and I actually have. As we mentioned previously, where the U.S. dollar has lost 95% of its value from the creation of the USD in 1913, or the creation of the Federal Reserve Bank in 1913.
Yeah, you know, I feel kind of bad for the people who just don't understand this stuff because they have to go work at Walmart every day or whatever. But at the same time, it's just like, it's having bad judgment in any way is your fault. Like if you're having a bad judgment to go home and watch cartoons every night instead, I don't know why I say cartoons, but you know, just entertainment every single night.
Yeah, something that's not enriching.
Yeah, and instead of figuring out how the world that you live in works, yeah, it sucks that the public schools didn't give you like classes on it, but your parents, they dropped the ball. And if you realize that you want to be safe from things, you know, harming you, you need to figure out how the world works. And the thing is, I've tried for a long time to try to get people my age to understand this stuff, and they just don't understand. They're like, I wish we just had a barter system. They just don't want to understand how money works.
Now, I mentioned in a stream recently that there's nothing more privileged than saying, well, I'm not interested in politics. 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in. It is Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves, talk about whatever you want. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to do that. The 603-283-6160 with you tonight. It's Aria, Nikki, and Bonnie. And I want to tell you about our TikTok. I've got a list of like four different clips I need to do. One of them I am doing tonight. I am going to take, because we have a TikTok for Free Talk Live, and periodically, I take clips and I put them on that TikTok. There's at least one that I'm going to do tonight. I try not to do more than one in a given session. So even if I'm motivated to sit there and make a bunch of clips, I'm not going to put them up tonight. But it can be difficult to find the exact thing that I wanted to clip out of an episode. And plus, if you load up 3 hours, and I don't know if you know this, but our stream, it is 3 hours long. And when you download the HD video of that, it's quite massive, yeah. Right? And because we do record and stream the show in HD. And when you load up a 3 hour long HD video file in order to edit it, even my beefy gaming PC goes, hey man, why are you doing this to me?
Yeah.
And my gaming PC isn't the one that I go to in order to do most of this stuff. It will be tonight, but usually my laptop tends to be better for this sort of thing because it's just positioned in a way that it's not worth getting into the reasons why. But usually I do this stuff with my laptop at 3 hours. It would take forever just to load the video, and then every time you click, it's got to re-optimize the entire thing. It's not as easy as one might think to just grab a clip of something that was said on Free Talk Live and throw it on the TikTok, and then you got to delete the spaces where people are breathing. You got to delete the boring stuff that isn't on topic. That way you end up with like a minute long clip that is just content, and it takes a while to do, and I've got to be really motivated to do it. But there is at least one that Ian said, I've got it written down. Ian said it, I think it was Monday night, that it's going to make a really good clip. I don't know. I write down the segments, and that's tiktok.freetalklive.com. So I make a note of what segment I need to go back and listen to, which sucks in and of itself because like, now I have to listen to a 30-minute segment of the show. Not that I hate listening to the show or anything like that, but like I was on the show that night, so I was literally here taking part in the conversation. I'm not going to get a whole lot of listening to that episode again.
Yep.
So I've got to listen to it and then find the thing that got my attention and then clip that out and, you know, put it online. And
we really got to start doing stuff that goes directly to TikTok. Like, I mean, it's a lot of work, but I have been thinking, like, of all the stuff that we could do, but it's just like, it's so hard to, you know, schedule stuff. Like me and Ian, I wrote on my like schedule, like that we were going to go to a crypto friendly business. Now we can't do Funky Noodle because they closed, and do a mukbang just directly to TikTok. And it just kept getting pushed back, and I forgot about it till now that you're bringing
it up. Well, you would have to record it. We're not qualified to, or at least Free Talk Live isn't qualified to stream to TikTok yet.
Oh, well, that's what I meant either way. Just
to live stream?
Just something that isn't having to be pulled from the show. Also, I think that someone could just go up to nobody with a phone and just be like, say something.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Say something
that
funny.
Would be interesting enough. Yeah, that's easy.
I mean, yeah, I would love to see that kind of content on there if anyone makes it and gets it to me. I mean, as long as they're affiliated in some way with Free Talk Live, I don't see any reason why we wouldn't put it on there. In fact, a lot of this I would like to see go to our AMPS program because we can upload videos directly there as well. So instead of putting it on TikTok, We just throw it on the apps program. Like, here's a 15-second video of, you know, nobody rambling about something. Throw it on the Patreon, right? Why not? So all of that, tiktok.freetalklive.com. If you want to see more of that, I mean, that's what you should do, really. You should let us know that in the comments somewhere. Preferably on video.freetalklive.com or maybe on our social media server or even by shooting us a message on our AMPS program, the amps.freetalklive.com. Any of those ways are good ways of getting in touch with us. Let us know if this sort of content appeals to you, because I got to tell you, it takes me 5 minutes to make a video, a good, high-quality video of me playing the guitar and throwing it on TikTok. It took me about 30 minutes to make the two that I made today. And that was all of the retakes that I did because I kept messing up because I just had come home from work and I sat down and started playing the guitar. So you're going to mess up a bit in the first, you know, 10 minutes. But it took me all of about half an hour to record that 3 minutes worth of content. Well, it was actually about 5 minutes worth of content that I cut down to about a minute and a half. It's really, really easy to do, but I'm not motivated to do it for Free Talk Live because I don't know if anyone is out there watching it, right? And if I'm going to do that, I know that I could throw it on my TikTok and get, you know, 1,000 views or whatever relatively quickly, and it'll do just fine. And it's just going to be there, not being important and not getting any attention and just sort of existing there. But if our listeners actually want stuff like that, that's all the more reason to go out of our way to make these quick little videos. And again, it doesn't take much. As you mentioned, just going up to nobody and recording him while he talks, or just anything for 30 seconds to a minute. All of that's good original, well, it can be good original content that people would be interested in seeing. And we have some of that at tiktok.freetalklive.com.
It's like people do always only see us in this room. There's so many like conspiracies. Like, I remember somebody said that before they heard us actually talk about it, they always thought this was a basement and that was the way up from the basement.
Oh,
and
I
used to think before I met everyone here that this was like a studio outside of Ian's house, because he would talk about his roommate and I would think that was somewhere else. And I always pictured this on like a city street. Nope. When I saw where it was so confusing.
Well, people have a lot of misconceptions about this house. It's like a cult den, right?
And this compound.
And then the media characterized it. I don't remember which one of them called it a flop house.
What does that even mean?
It's a place where someone flops down for a week or two at a time before they don't know what they're like.
Yeah, no.
That at least is not accurate anymore.
No, it's not. Well, I don't think it was ever really accurate, but I don't remember who called it that. But like, that's, if it's not that, then they're calling it, you know, the headquarters of a cult mastermind or whatever, because they think we're a cult. We don't hear that as much these days.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of funny, though, because I think that everybody else is in a cult, which is worshiping the state, and we're the only ones that aren't in a cult.
But see, if you were in a good cult, that's exactly what you would believe.
I guess so. I mean,
well, that's what, like, people that live in
maybe it's working.
Legal land, like the people that, you know, the judge and the lawyers in legal land, when you say anything, normal people, I mean, when you say anything to point out the absurdity of what they're doing, it's like you are crazy to them. Like, how is my dog without a license a nullity? My dog really exists in real life. It's like, you're a psychopath. You know, that's what how they're thinking.
Yeah, but fall in line. Why are you going against the what everybody else is doing?
So many years ago, before the Crypto 6 thing happened, Rich and I were at, this is before he even changed his name to Rich, we were at the Porcupine Freedom Festival or Fork Fest or something. We're just hanging out on LSD or shrooms or whatever in the parking lot. I don't remember what we were on. But we were talking about me being crazy. He's like, well, you're a crazy Satanist, anarchist, trans chick or whatever. And I was like, look, man, anyone who exists today and they're not an anarchist, trans, Satanist, whatever, is the crazy one. And he said back to me, yeah, and having your own definition where you're not crazy and everyone else is the definition of crazy.
Oh.
And I wasn't in a mindset really to then, like, all I could do is glare at him like, that was, I had some choice words for it. You can't tell someone who's tripping on shrooms that they're crazy and be right.
I wouldn't say that you're like just like crazy.
No.
But my sister, who is crazy, believes that she is normal. She's like, everyone else is being stupid. Everyone else is being annoying. It's like when people are doing regular things, she'll be like, I just stared at her because she's being so stupid. And it's something like the lady was like, wear clothes. I'm not joking. Somebody at HEB told my sister, like, wear clothes. You need to make your way to the front. And she was just like, I just kept shopping because that lady was, not that she was crazy, but just like F that lady. And that's right. How my sister acts. She's, and that's why we haven't talked in a couple of years, because we got in a fight where she was obviously in the wrong. And she was just like, it's all my fault. You know, that's crazy.
Sure. Well, I obviously don't think I'm crazy. And I don't think that Rich thinks I'm crazy. That was just a conversation that two friends were having while we were on LSD in the mountains. Right. But it
is a good definition.
It is. And it's similar to what I was just saying. And I've never been so convinced that we are, in fact, taking part in a cult as I am right now. Because, like, if we were in a cult, we would be sitting here pointing our fingers at everyone else saying, no, you guys are the cult. We're the sane ones. We're not a cult. You're a cult. But, like, we're a cult.
I don't really mind being called a cult. But according to the parameters, apparently Ann said we're not.
And, of course, the Branch Davidians, the people who were there at Waco when the ATF and the FBI just demolished them and started murdering them, they were convinced that they were not a cult. They were the normal ones. And everyone else, it was the outside world that was wrong. So, no, we're not a cult, but it's fun to entertain the possibility.
So, I guess, according to the definitions of a cult, most of them are a religious thing, which
Well, the Shire Society is a religious thing. Well, the Shire Society isn't.
The Shire Free Church
absolutely isn't. It owns Free Talk Live.
That's true. But it's also a misplaced or excessive admiration for a particular person or thing.
But that's the thing. Lots of people in our circles admire, like, Ian, but it's not misplaced. It's not like we think of him as like a god. We just admire him because he's really freaking cool.
The opposition, so to speak, would say that it's misplaced.
I don't know. I don't think it's fair, because it's like, if somebody is just calling themselves God and you have to be like, we all have to like him. First of all, if anybody on the show was just like, I don't really like Ian, I don't think he would like kick him off for it. Like,
no,
I mean, why would they be on the show, though?
Yeah,
that'd be weird.
Like, why are you coming here?
Yeah, I agree entirely. And that's the mythology that the government was creating in the trial here, is that Ian's sort of this cult leader head. And it's like, have you met the guy? Because that's not an accurate description.
No.
And it's weird because he's a Leo, but he really isn't that interested in being like the center of attention.
Right. I mean, there's a camera here that's in front of me that is, it's Capra 4. And we have a camera switcher script going. Ian purposefully turns off this camera anytime he's sitting in this particular chair, just because he doesn't want to be the center of attention. As you said, he doesn't want it to be fixated on him.
It's so weird because he's not really like Leo at all. And he's like dead in the middle of Leo.
Mark thinks it's because he thinks he's ugly.
Yeah, that's what Mark told me.
I know, but Mark doesn't know what Mark is talking about. Well, Mark knows what Mark is talking about, but Mark is wrong.
Mark just likes to say things. And I don't believe that that's true. Ian doesn't think he's ugly.
I sat right here tonight back before all of the Crypto 6 stuff. It was myself, Ian, and Mark on the show, where Mark made the allegation that Ian began taking Metamucil because he wanted bigger, and Mark's exact words, he wanted bigger, more robust number twos.
And, ew, right, what?
And that was the allegation that Mark put forward. And Mark believed this. He wasn't just making this up on the spur of the moment. He genuinely believed that this was how things had happened.
And he doesn't take Metamucil now.
No, I mean, and I don't know. I remember whether or not he did then, but none of that's important, right? It's nonsense that Mark just came to believe was true and then put out there into the universe for other people to believe.
Mark would be a good cult leader.
Maybe. I don't think he's got the... I'm not saying Mark is uncharismatic, but he doesn't have the magnetic charisma that is necessary to
you
be
don't
a
think?
Cult leader.
No. I think Mark has think he does. Magnetic charisma. It's just that not among libertarians as much as like slightly right-wing people, like the people in the chat, and then maybe the people in Utila. I don't know about them because I don't know them all, but he has some devout followers that like will fight with me on Twitter if I say anything anti-Mark.
The conservative types definitely prefer Mark, and it's been interesting watching Free Talk Live evolve. Free Talk Live has always been a show that evolves, right? The hosts change and the show just as a whole evolved. And Mark is on the show less and less these days, and that drives the old conservative listeners crazy, because instead they have the tranny Nikki and Bonnie, right? And like, what happened to my good old fashioned conservative talk radio? It's like, well, you can go listen to that with Rush Limbaugh or insert other.
No, he's dead.
Well, insert whatever conservative isn't dead, but like now, and they make the other, we're ruining the show or whatever, and now people aren't listening. But like, okay, fine, but we are attracting new left leaning listeners, yeah. Right? It's, we just traded one for the other, and at some point, I'm sure that those conservatives will be back. Conservatives will be on the airwaves again.
Oh, we have plenty of conservative listeners, and even if they come in to call in to argue with us or disagree with us, they are still listening, and a lot of them listen almost every night.
Well, talk radio certainly is a more conservative thing anyway, most of the radio stations that carry us tend to play areas. But like our podcast listeners, there's left libertarians and there's right-leaning libertarians. I mean, we all know this to be true, and I suspect that more of our listeners these days are left libertarians, while the Mark types, the ones who love Mark, are frothing at the mouth and irate and angrily ranting on Facebook about how we're ruining the show because we come at it from a left libertarian perspective.
Mark told me I do a good job.
You do a good job. We all do a good job. Pats on the back all around. Don't give us pats on the back. Or do. Go to amps.freetalklive.com if you want to give us pats on the back. It's not actually giving us pats on the back, though, but if you pay $5
per month,
you can join. Yes, you can join the AMPS program. And as we mentioned, I do want to see some original content get put on there. I just don't know, right? So much of the time, if I record some throwaway content, it's usually going to be like a video of me playing the guitar or something like that. I could put that on the Free Talk Live amplifier page, but it doesn't really belong there. It doesn't have anything to do with Free Talk Live. Like, maybe some people would be interested, but I don't want to feel like I'm trying to hijack the Free Talk Live listener base to promote my own thing. And this is sort of why I don't stream to the Free Talk to the LRN channels anymore, even though Ian did this song. Every time I've done it within the last few years, we're like, oh, I didn't know LRN was a gaming channel now. It's like, it's always had gaming streams off and on. Just Ian doesn't play any games anymore, so he never streams. But like, that was where I got the idea from.
I don't allow Ian to play. No, I'm just kidding.
Like, that's
never,
why.
Never wants to play video games. He makes fun of me because I play games on my phone all the time. But really? I only do it to make myself more productive. Like, if I'm listening to something, sometimes I can't just be staring into nowhere.
Sure.
So I play Mindless Angry Birds or something.
Well, now I just stream to my own channels because why not? I prefer keeping the things separate anyway. Look, I have multiple websites that I'm the only person who even writes on them. Like, there's Demezzo Gaming, where I put all of my gaming stuff. And then there's my political page, and there's my anarchy page, and then there's my Satanism page, which I can't use at the moment, but it still exists there. And I have all of these things, and they're all separate because maybe the people who like the music that I make don't care about the politics that I'm into. But, you know, me as a person, if you want the full picture of the whole me, you need both of those things. And maybe, just maybe, some lyrics that I put out for a song will get them interested in the politics, or something I say in a gaming stream will get them interested in the politics, or like, oh, I didn't know you were a musician, and then, you know, overlapping with some of these other categories. So I think all of that's a good thing, and I would like to see more stuff on the Free Talk Live TikTok and on the Free Talk Live Patreon that isn't just clips of the show. Mm-hmm. I think that's what you were alluding to, basically.
Yeah.
And these things are so easy to do. We just have to make the time to do them. Or if someone does them, you just have to give us a clip and we can make that happen. It's super easy. But if I'm going to do a clip, I'm usually going to put it on my own TikTok because it just takes a couple of minutes. And it's, as I mentioned, it's not really related. I'm not going to put video of me playing the guitar on the Free Talk Live TikTok. That would be silly. But a video of me ranting at Porkfest or whatever, sure, why not? Because that's political. But anyway, you can find out all of that at tiktok.freetalklive.com. And there's also amps.freetalklive.com. There's all sorts of content out there, and I want there to be more content. For the last few weeks, I've been streaming more games lately just because that's what I want to do. That's what I've always done, is created content. And I enjoy creating content. And you know, maybe you enjoy watching it. If you do, amps.freetalklive.com. Or just like, share, subscribe, all of that great stuff. That lets us know that you do like it, right? If you watch us on YouTube or Odyssey or whatever, and you never like our stuff, you don't subscribe to us, you never comment, you might as well not be there. I mean, we're not watching these metrics closely, but when we go to look at these metrics every once in a while, we go, oh, well, no one's watching us on YouTube anyway, so what do we care if we move it? Well, if people who are actually watching us would like the streams that they're watching or comment on the streams they're watching, all of these things make the algorithms happy, so they're more likely to promote it to other people, and it's more likely to get our attention. So if you do these sort of things, just mild things to interact with the show, then we're more aware that you're there. And that makes us more inclined to put stuff there for you to enjoy.
I'm pretty sure Free Talk Live is like shadow banned on like Twitter and Facebook, because it's like months will go by when I'm not on Facebook, but people have said this about Facebook, but months will go by and I'll be like, I haven't seen anything from Free Talk Live. And Free Talk Live posts to Twitter like every night. Like whenever people are doing the, at least every night that Ian's on, I don't know if every host does this, but.
Posting the show prep. Yeah, but yeah. I don't think that's going to get shadow banned. I think that's just downvoted in the rankings, right? Like if we're just posting, you know, a link to a news article without comment, why would Twitter promote that?
Well, they usually write something.
I guess it depends, too. You know you're shadow banned when previously you were getting thousands of likes and a lot of engagement on your post, and then all of a sudden you start getting nobody. Like, not nobody like Rich Paul, like right. No one. Yeah. So, because I noticed that happening with my own Instagram, where I had a lot of engagement on my posts. People were commenting with me, and they were liking my stuff, and now I'm lucky if I get 50 likes.
My experience with the Free Talk Live Facebook page, which I'm just about the only one who uses it now, every night we go live there and it automatically posts, and that's 99% of its total content. But every once in a while, I will post a meme that I got from the S posting group that Nikki and I run, or I will just find something else that isn't quite S posting but belongs, that is Free Talk Live oriented anyway. And that will usually get a lot more attention than any of the automatic posts. And then
I guess so, because it's something different.
Yeah. And then especially if I go back in there and I read the comments and I respond to the comments, right, from Free Talk Live, that interaction with the fans, that's what drives people. That's what gets them interested. That's why so many streamers end up being popular, because they talk back to people who are watching the stream, and it makes them feel like they're a part of it. It's the same reason I've started using we when I do my gaming streams. Like, oh, well, we still need to go do this. I don't mean we. I'm the one playing the game. You're just watching. But by saying we, it includes them. It creates this sort of mentality in them where they feel like they're a part of it, and that makes them more inclined to support it.
That's funny. I do that in my yoga classes, where even if I'm teaching it in person, I try to say we, because it feels more like I don't want to say we're united, but it feels more like we're doing this together, and it's not just me delegating tasks to people.
Yeah. You had something?
I was just going to say, this sounds completely stupid, but I do it in my head. Like, whenever I take a test, I say, okay, we have this here, and now we have to take it. Like, whenever you take a test, we have to write over here, write on a Scantron, sorry. And I'm trying not to mix it up and put my answer on the right one. I don't do this, I don't take tests ever, but that's just the first example that came to my head. I'm always like, okay, we have A for, and I wonder why I do that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it, right? Like, I tend to use I, me pronouns when talking about myself, unless I'm streaming a game where it's constantly we. Yeah. And maybe there's some just psychological difference when you're taking a test versus when I'm streaming, right?
Plus, I talk to Coconut all day. Like,
do
when
you say
Coconut's
we with
not
Coconut?
At work and I forget that he's not there, I'll be like, all right, Coconut, we got it. And I stop myself and I'm like, wow. Wasn't there.
603-283-6160. Are you schizophrenic? Do you call yourself we? 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. And if you're quick, you can still get on the air with us. 603-283-6160 if you would like to do that. The 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
And it's
Nikki,
Bonnie.
Sorry, hold on. You're still muted. No, you're not muted.
It's Nikki.
And it's Bonnie.
And I want to say thank you to Joe Schenk, who is tonight's amplifier. This means that Joe is a member of the AMPS program. You can find it at amps.freetalklive.com. We mentioned it briefly a few minutes ago. Stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. So if you value the show, if you like the ideas of Liberty being on close to 200 radio stations and being on all of these podcast platforms and video platforms, you might consider joining the AMPS program. It's amps.freetalklive.com. It only takes $5 per month. That's all it takes to get you in. That's amps.freetalklive.com. You can join for more if you want. I think there are tiers. Well, obviously, I think there's unlimited tiers, actually. But I think the highest recognized tier was the diamond tier at $50 per month, but none of that is necessary. $5 per month gets you in. AMPS.freetalklive.com. So thank you so much, Joe. We hope you're enjoying the show, and we hope you continue amplifying, even as the conservative audience, you know, considers our episodes anathema and we recruit a new leftist-leaning audience. We hope you can stick around and continue supporting the show. So we mentioned previously the drug war and how legalizing drugs, ending the drug war, it has the most obvious effects of making drugs safer. It ends the drug war. So it ends the cartels.
Yep.
And we've seen this happen repeatedly throughout the world. And I think Oregon is trying decriminalization right now. When you legalize drugs and you stop criminalizing addiction, you end up with more people seeking treatment for addiction. You have lower drug addiction rates. The drugs are less deadly because people aren't buying fentanyl on the streets or cooking up crocodile themselves or whatever. They're instead buying it from a reputable dealer, quote, reputable in quotation marks dealer. It's got all of these nice little side effects. And we saw the same thing happen in Nevada where prostitution is legal, where you don't have a lot of sex trafficking there. And to so many people, sex trafficking and prostitution are the same thing, where you can't have, the reason they got so upset about, I think it was Backpage, which was, it was basically a prostitution website that people used on the internet to find potential clients. The reason they got so upset about it was because they were like, oh, this is helping facilitate sex trafficking, when the opposite was true.
Yeah.
And the vast majority of people who were
like
on
sex
Backpage,
trafficking, as in the way that people use it, as in somebody against their will being taken around,
yes,
and, you know, sold for sex.
Yes, that's what they mean when they say sex trafficking. And legalizing prostitution almost universally but significantly reduces sex trafficking. And we saw that exact thing with the elimination of Backpage, where it was estimated that it would take 25 times the number of cops to achieve the same reduction in prostitution rates and sex trafficking rates that were achieved by Backpage.
Wow.
So
it doesn't even make sense why prostitution would be illegal. It's my body. Why can't I sell it if I want to? You know?
That's the one way you're not allowed to sell your body. I sell my body every week at my place of employment.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in the military, they have to get vaccines and stuff.
Yeah, it's way worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them literally die selling their bodies.
Well, yeah, I can kill and I can die, but I can't have sex with someone for money. That just doesn't make sense.
It's just because they want to corner the market because they have all this creepy stuff going on behind the scenes.
Probably. It's the same reason why drugs are illegal. Yeah. I mean, I'm speculating.
The government's involved in that. The CIA gets money from that. So why would I think that they didn't do creepy prostitution, probably pedophile stuff?
There's also this mythology that, you know, sex is like this puritanism that's still rampant in the United States. This idea that sex is holy and it's between a man and a woman who love each other, and any other sex is immoral and unlawful. There are plenty of people out there today who believe that sex between people who aren't married is immoral. And I don't understand where those people are coming from, but they believe it.
I mean, if they believe that, that's fine, but mind your own business.
Right.
So if you think that, then you can live your own life like that. And I totally respect that too. You know, I kind of get that philosophy, whatever.
Yeah.
But don't push your beliefs on other people, because as we have seen hundreds of years throughout the span of history, that is not, for the most part, what sex is.
No, and it becomes pushed onto other people when that's the issue with the Puritanism and the Christianity, is that they did push their beliefs onto other people. That's why we're still dealing with the ramifications of it today. This transgender nonsense that we're dealing with right now, it's just an extension of the Puritanism, going all the way back to some libertarian called recently to tell us how wrong it is to expose kids to sex. And we pointed out that we're not exposing kids to sex. And we even got him to admit that, okay, well, the worst thing we're dealing with here is like kids playing doctors with each other. And even that, this person was like, no, that's sinful, that's shameful, and
seriously?
That shouldn't happen. Yeah.
What does playing doctors with each other mean?
Exploring each other's bodies
yeah.
as kids in a probably a sexual way, but they don't mean any harm. They're like 6 or 7 years old or whatever. Hmm. And it's just kids being kids. To this Puritan, I mean, he's not even a Puritan. He's just a normal libertarian. I don't even remember his name now, but I remember he was a libertarian. That was evil. It's automatically evil, automatically wrong and sinful. It's like, I don't see the problem.
It's human nature is what it is.
Yeah, I'm not going to encourage it and I'm not going to condemn it, but like...
I'd probably stop it if like I was the adult around. I'd be like,
well, if
oh,
it was happening in
that.
Front of me.
Right,
yeah,
that's what I mean.
Like, hey, look, no,
I didn't
know
if that's what
this.
You were saying. So, yeah, I'd be like, no, 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 we don't do that.
No, we were just talking about kids off in their room or whatever.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. There are other issues that they're doing that in front of you that have to be taken into consideration, obviously, right?
Yeah.
But anyway.
I wasn't there for the previous conversation.
No. And I don't remember all of the specifics of that conversation. It was a surprising result because I had seen nothing in this person that suggested this sort of Puritanism prior to that. But then sure enough, oh no, this kids having anything to do with sex is wrong, even if it's just two kids.
It's ingrained.
It is. You know? Humans are sexual beings. And I don't want to encourage that. I don't want to introduce kids to that. None of that is what I'm saying. I'm just saying kids will be kids. And if you're trying to get in the way of that, the only one who's destroying kids' innocence at that point is you. So... we have a new story, Bonnie, you brought in tonight about the legalization of prostitution and how it's leading to a reduction in the rate of rape and sex trafficking.
Yes, this is from Reason. Rape rates go down as countries legalize prostitution and rise with sex work prohibition.
I like that they're calling it rape instead of sex trafficking. Because obviously that sort of sex trafficking where a person is having sex with people against their will or whatever.
Is rape.
That's rape.
Yeah.
So let's just call it that and let's not call it sex trafficking. Because sex trafficking is just presumably selling sex.
Right. That's a good point. It says liberalizing prostitution laws leads to a significant decrease in rape rates according to a study published in the Journal of Law and Economics, while prohibiting it leads to a significant increase.
Amazing. And the Journal of Law and Economics wrote this?
The Journal of Law and Economics.
And they said, let's repeat that for all the dense people in the back who weren't listening, that legalizing prostitution leads to a reduction in rape and sex trafficking.
Yep.
And outlawing prohibition, making prostitution illegal, leads to an increase.
And I would say that just regular rape, as in like somebody just getting raped once and then the person running away, that probably it hasn't gotten into it yet, but I bet that goes down as well.
Oh,
because
sure.
It's like people who aren't suppressed and have a ability and a way to go have sex for money are less likely to want to rape someone.
Well, and this is what it is. Like, unfortunately, you know, with human beings being sexual creatures, a lot of people will need a release. And if they are otherwise undesirable or unable to find a sexual partner, some people, if they're sick enough, they will do anything to get that release. So they could either pay a prostitute to do it or they could rape some woman in the street.
I had always heard that the reason that most people who commit rape do so is because of a power thing and not anything to do with actual sexual desire. Because, I mean,
that could be both, though. It's like, a sexual power thing.
I wouldn't know, honestly.
I wouldn't either. But a person can release their sexual desires in ways that don't involve
rape.
That's
true.
But it's like a sexual control thing. If it was just a control thing, they would just be like a mean boss.
You could do different. Okay, I'm not going to get into it, but yeah. Continue.
It says, for the study, researchers Washeng Gao and Vanya Petrova of China's Fudan University looked at data from 31 European countries spanning a period between 1990 and 2017. During this time period, 8 countries, which were Spain, Denmark, Hungary, the Netherlands, Germany, Slovenia, Latvia, and Romania, liberalized their prostitution laws, while 6 countries, which were Sweden, Croatia, Norway, Iceland, France, and Ireland, cracked down on prostitution.
Oh, okay. So they literally have both sets here that they can look at. These people who legalized prostitution and these people who went all law and order on prostitution. Interesting data set. So they can draw some reasonable conclusions based on whatever it is they observe from these two sets.
It says, overall, liberalizing prostitution laws was linked to a significant decrease in rape rates, while prohibition was linked to a significant increase. But the magnitude of these two shifts was far from equal. Rather, the magnitude of prohibiting commercial sex is about 4 times as large as that of liberating it.
I didn't catch that.
I'm not sure what the magnitude means. The magnitude of these two shifts.
It sounds like increasing policing or clamping down on prostitution is four times more likely to increase
rape.
The rape rate, as legalizing it is to decrease the rape rate.
That makes sense.
I can see why they worded that as weirdly as they did, because there's no good way to word
that. Yeah, exactly.
So clamping down significantly increases the rate of raping and sex trafficking, essentially.
It says the average rape rate in the sample countries was 9 rapes per 100,000 people. Countries that liberalized prostitution saw a decrease of approximately 3 rapes per 100,000 people relative to countries that did not change their prostitution laws. Meanwhile,
so, I guess the numbers don't really matter. Go ahead.
It just went down by 3 compared to the other people that didn't change, or countries that didn't change.
Yeah, that was my question, if it went down 2-3 or by 3. So it went down by 3. So it was 6 in 100,000, which is still good, right? I mean, it's not good. It's still bad. But if you had the choice between 9 women getting raped or 9 people getting raped and 6 people getting raped, and you had to choose between the two, 6 people being raped is better than 9 people being raped.
And here, this is exactly what it means.
There's no context to make that sound better. But some loser out there is going to clip that. And I don't want that to happen, but it's too late.
Well, you interpreted the last paragraph correctly, because it says, meanwhile, countries that banned or further criminalized prostitution saw an increase of around 11 rapes per 100,000 people relative to the control groups. So the liberalizing prostitution laws took it down by just 3, but making it illegal brought up by 11 a year.
Oh, God.
So it has significantly increased it. So, and the more you clamp down with police, it seems, or the more likely you are to get rape and sex trafficking. So one can conclude, based on this information, that if someone wants there to be more rape and sex trafficking, then the solution to get more of that is to outlaw prostitution.
Sounds like it.
What's crazy is people like Sarah, she calls in a lot about specifically homeless women getting raped or, you know, brought into sex trafficking. And whenever we bring this up to her, we tell her that if it was just legalized, there would be less rape. She doesn't want to hear that. She just says, like, no one should do sex work. And she just is acting like it's all the same. Like,
people should do whatever sex work they find rewarding.
Yeah.
Whatever they, you know,
are willing
to do.
People should do whatever work they find rewarding is what I meant. But if they find sex work rewarding, then absolutely.
Yeah.
And that can be rewarding in any way. I don't care. It's not my determination to say, oh, well, you find working in a 9-to-5 cubicle rewarding? What's the matter with you? That's not my place. So if they find sex work rewarding, then let them do it.
It just always amazes me that people can't get the concept of minding their own business. You know, like, as long as you're not hurting anybody else, why do I care that you're a prostitute?
Yeah.
If you're making other people happy, and if you're doing work that enriches your life, and you're making good money at doing it, why would that ever upset me? Why would that ever upset anyone else?
And look, incels are a problem in the United States. These people who cannot get laid because they're too ugly or their personalities are too distasteful or whatever. There's a bunch of those, and they become resentful. And they target people with their resentment and their hatred, usually trans people and then black people. And it escalates, and they end up shooting up a grocery store in Brooklyn. Right.
And what I wish everybody would understand is, like, there's literally no such thing as too ugly to get laid. I mean, just like, you have no potential to look better. If you lose weight, if you get a skincare routine, if you figure out a haircut that works for you, you're going to get laid.
Well, even if they don't want to do that, and even if they can't get laid for free, they could probably pay someone. I'm sure there was someone that would do it for money.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't matter what you look like. And if the price is right, then I'm sure someone will do it.
But Bonnie, George Bernard Shaw made that exact point in the afterwards of one of his stories, which is that, you know, no one is too ugly to find a partner if that's what they really want to do.
Yeah.
Right. You can always find someone who is ugly enough to accept you, no matter how ugly you are.
And there
it's just so terrible.
But it's true. Look,
there may be too little effort put in to get laid. That may be a thing. Like, you're just like super obese and greasy, don't take showers. You may not be able to get laid, but that's not the same thing as being ugly. Like, just your potential, the best you could possibly look, just working towards that, you're not too ugly to get laid.
Excellently put. But even if you were, prostitution being legal means you could just pay someone to get you laid. And there would be no the stigma against sex work also needs to be addressed, right? We shouldn't look down on people for being prostitutes or strippers or whatever, but we do. But like that should go away too. And you know, if you're one of these incels who hates women because you can't get laid, well, here's the solution: pay $150 and you'll get laid, and then you won't hate women anymore. You'll be like, oh, well, that was actually a pretty neat experience, wasn't it? These people aren't evil, and you know, you might improve as a person. I'm convinced that all of these incels, they would be better people if they got laid. And that's sort of a tautology, because who wouldn't be a better person if they actually loosened up a little bit? But
yeah,
the incels in particular, but there are reasons they're not getting laid, and it's probably their personality or
Well, one called in once and just said when they go up to talk to women, like even at the cash register, they just like can't look at them, can't remember words and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like some people are just scared of, or some like men are just scared of women.
See, a prostitute can't help you with that, don't think.
Yeah, because how are you going to even feel like going up and approaching them? Just watch YouTube videos. Like I'm sure there's YouTube videos out there about like how to get confidence.
Or just be gay. Why can't he be gay? Right? If he can't talk to women.
I guess it's possible to like not be gay, to be straight, but also be afraid of women. Because if you're not gay, you're not gay.
I mean, if the lights are off. I'm just trying to figure out how we can help these people who are terrified of women to get laid. And
I'm sure there's self-help books and, like Bonnie said, YouTube videos.
And like just going out.
They just need to try. You need to do a lot of self-improvement and just work on it, you know? But
go for easy targets. Like start off just talking to like old ladies at your church, not going after them, but just like getting used to talking to women like that.
Really good advice.
Things like that, you know, if you don't go to church, I don't know.
Also, we covered a story on Sunday where a man was in love with multiple balloons. So you could, it was called Objecticum something.
I just refuse to believe that. I just don't believe those people. I'll believe anybody that tells me they're gay.
Crazy.
Or whatever. Exactly. You're not sexually attracted to balloons. You're just crazy.
Yeah,
I don't believe it. You're not sexually attracted to a cigarette trash can thing.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
Where do you draw the line? And I realize that I'm sort of, by even asking that question, we're comparing trans people or gay people to ashtrays. And I don't mean to be doing that. But I'm like, if you don't accept this person's attraction to, I think I get it. You draw the line at inanimate freaking objects. That's a stupid question, right? That's where you draw the line, at the things that aren't
but
alive.
But what about like robots and stuff? So there's like the hyper-realistic sex dolls. What about those?
But,
can you believe that?
Yeah.
You know?
I could see that, but only because like...
But that's because they're pouring their own personality into it.
Yeah.
You could convince yourself of that, but like... I don't know. You know, one thing it's making me think of is when I was a little kid, I had personalities and, you know, friendships with all my, like I had a giant pile of stuffed animals.
Oh yeah, same here.
But I don't think as an adult you could do that unless you're developmentally messed up. Because it's like, even if I wanted to, I have several stuffed animals, like three. I can't feel that way I did as a kid. Sometimes I think about that. It's like...
The magic's gone.
Yeah, that's gone. Even watching Mulan the other day, I was like, there was something missing.
Yeah, it's like, your little fun. Girl imagination.
Exactly. It's like the stuff that went on in my head wasn't there, I guess.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Because I had the same, I don't know how many stuffed animals I had, but they were all different. They all had their names, their own little personalities. It was just like Winnie the Pooh, right? Where you have Pooh and Tigger and Eeyore, and they're all different. They all have their own personalities. But as an adult, the closest thing I could think of is that my cats and dog all have sort of different personalities.
But really do, though.
Yeah, I'm not putting that onto them. Yeah. Like, Rainbow is grouchy, and she does hate everyone except me, and Azria is derpy. So, like, those are observations more than they are, like, me using my imagination to give them those characteristics.
And I guess there are definitely people who have, like, really big imagination still as adults. I'm not saying there aren't, but even if you have this imagination you created that this stuffed animal is your boyfriend... It is still crazy, so therefore I'm right.
Was it crazy when we did it when we were kids? I would say so, but it was more part of
it's
growing up.
Like fun and endearing, though, kind of, you know?
I even had this rule in my head. I was always like, it's messed up that they don't eat. So I had a rule that anytime I eat, they're eating, I would just think of them.
Okay. I mean, I don't know how to say that the adult falling in love with a stuffed animal is crazy, but you feeding your stuffed animals in your imagination is not.
Right.
And you know, I don't necessarily think that it's crazy for you to feed your animals in your imagination because you're a kid, right? I mean, that's part of being a kid.
I almost don't think that these adults are, maybe they are crazy, but like, what is crazy?
What about
you know
the furries?
Mean? Like,
the furries are definitely crazy.
Yeah, so it's like, but a lot of, that's a big community. So where
but
are
the crazy community? It's humans in the costume, so.
But that
I don't know
to
about
some
it.
Of them.
Oh,
to, well, they are, but like, they think that when they put on that costume, they become that animal. Right, where they're no longer a human wearing that mascot costume or whatever. They are that animal. They become one with that animal. They're nuts, some of them.
Well, there's one caller I don't want to offend about the furry things. Also, I just don't know enough about it.
I know more than I want to know about it.
I watched a documentary, and that told me everything I needed to know.
Oh, my God. I've never seen a documentary. I just know some people who are furries.
It was about FurryCon, I think it was called, and they held it in a hotel.
Right,
and
as they do.
They trashed the entire hotel and got permanently banned from Hilton. Like, people were using litter boxes,
oh my
and they
God.
Were on drugs, and they just completely destroyed the hotel. So I think it was Hilton, like, permanently banned any furry convention. But the whole story, it's like only like a 20, 30-minute long YouTube documentary. But
people,
it was very interesting.
Yeah, the people who are so far into it that they would use a litter box are probably shunned by even the furry community.
I was going to say, like, that could be a group that other ones would be like, they made us look bad. Because I feel bad. What if somebody said, I watched a documentary on the Free State Project and now I know they're all crazy. You know, when you feel a little...
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm defending the furries.
But I'm also
But
not,
you're right.
Yeah.
It's just that it's not like they are attracted to animals. At least they're, if that is where it's coming from, which I'm not saying it is, but if that is where it's coming from, at least they have an outlet that's not like having sex with animals.
That's true.
That is true.
Yeah.
And you know,
I
most
really
of
know
what
that
I know about
related.
Furries comes from the furries that I actually know. And they were both, well, actually I may know more than two. I'm not entirely sure. The two that I know for a fact were furries were super, super cringy though.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and how would they not be?
I mean, by not being a furry, I guess.
So, but this kind of reminded me of something I said earlier, not even 10 minutes ago. If it's not hurting anyone, then why do I care, you know?
Well, I mean, I don't
care.
Well,
you guys aren't trying to outlaw it, so.
Yeah.
I just...
You know, like, I'm not going to necessarily, I feel like I'm not even in a place to judge them, just like I wouldn't judge a prostitute.
Right.
Yeah, I don't necessarily, maybe, like, I wouldn't do that, but I don't care if somebody else does.
I guess my issue with the furry thing is when they wear their fursuits out in public, it feels like trying to involve me in their kink without my permission.
Or even the tails. Some people walk around with just a tail hanging out.
But what about a woman scantily dressed? What about drag queens, you know?
I don't know. Social.freetalklive.com if you want to carry on the conversation with us. That's social.freetalklive.com because there is no good answer. We just got to live in peace and compassion.
Join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 15th through the 18th for the 7th annual ForkFest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which sold out in 2022. For 2023, we're going back to where it all started, the weekend before ForkFest. ForkFest is decentralized, which means that there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 15th through the 18th. You can find out more at the unofficial website forkfest.party. You can also connect with other attendees on the ForkFest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms, as well as the ForkFest forum. You can find links to those at forkfest.party. We hope to see you there June 15th through the 18th. ForkFest.party.